sources that you might be interested in reading concerning Harash Gopta. The first is the Hakdamas HaRambam to Pirush HaMishnah. It's a very long Hakdamah, it's well worth reading the whole thing. And especially the fourth section of the Hakdamah is related particularly to the Harash Gopta. In the new editions of Rambam La'am, they have divided up into sections, and it's very easy reading. There are a number of points that the Rambam brings out in this Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah. Some are repetitions from the Hakdamah to Pirush HaMishnayot, but others are new points that he has in the Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah. The third source would be the essay of the Maritz Chayis in the Kol Kitzvei Maritz Chayis in the first volume. It's the Maimer Torah Shebal Peh, towards the beginning. It's a very good essay. Again, the Prima Godim, the Psicha HaKoleles to Arachayim, has quite a lot about Torah Shebal Peh. The whole Psicha is very interesting. All of his Psichos, to each section of Halacha is very interesting, especially the Psicha HaKoleles. The Prima Godim also wrote two other Svarim. One is the Shoshana Soamokim, the other is the Ginas Veradim. And both of these Svarim deal with aspects of Torah Shebal Peh. He has very thorough treatments of a number of topics. In the Kovet Shiurim of Rav Elchanan Vasson in the second volume, he has a kuntres called Divrei Sofrim, which is also very good. He has a lot of source material there. Then I'd mention another two sources which you might be interested in looking at. One is the Kuzari Hasheni by Rav David Nito, the chief rabbi of England a long time ago. The first three Bikuchim deal with Torah Shebal Peh. He deals with technical aspects. How do we know that Chazal are reliable? And how do you know that the Torah Shebal Peh wasn't falsified and so on? But he has a few quotes that are relevant. Also, Rav Amiel has a volume called the Midos L'Cheker HaHalacha, in which he has an introduction, which is fairly good, about the Hishtalshlus of Torah Shebal Peh from one generation to the other. These are the svarim that I quoted. There must be many more essays, but these are the ones that I use. I'll start with the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Amud Beis, where Rabbi Yochanan says, "Lo koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu brisim Yisrael, elu b'shul dvarim shebal peh, shenamar ki al pi ha'dvarim ho'ele karati yitcha brit v'yes Yisrael." That the krisis bris for Klal Yisrael was only on Torah Shebal Peh. Of course, this is very difficult. It would appear as if there's no krisis bris in Torah Shebal Ksav. Often, the bris means, the covenant means that we're bound to abide by the mitzvot. Certainly, Torah Shebal Peh is also binding. But before we get to that, I'd like to explain just exactly how the Chazal understand this pasuk. This is the pasuk at the end of Kisisa. The Gemara quotes the whole pasuk. It starts off, "Ksav l'cho," God is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, "Ksav l'cho es advarim ho'ele." In other words, write down the Torah, implying Torah shebiksav. Then it says, "Ki al pi advarim ho'ele karati itcha bris v'yes Yisrael," because the bris will be based on these things. So the Gemara explains that we're talking about two different dvarim. First, "Ksav l'cho es hadvarim ho'ele" refers to Torah shebiksav, and "Ki al pi hadvarim ho'ele" refers to Torah shebal peh. The word "elo" is mentioned twice. First says hadvarim ho'ele, then hadvarim ho'ele. So apparently you should have said ki al pihem karati yitcha bris. Should have said something else. Apparently Chazal interpret that the first dvarim ho'ele referred to one set of one system of Torah shebiksav, and the second dvarim ho'ele referred to Torah shebal peh. The Marshua asks that the way Chazal understand the Pasuk is very difficult because it says ki, and it would appear as if the Pasuk, Pashup Shat and Pasuk, you should write down the Torah because there will be a krisis bris based on this Torah. So how can Chazal interpret that they're talking about two different Torahs? One is Torah Shebal Peh, one is Torah Shebiksav. It doesn't fit into the Pasuk. Just to explain what Chazal meant, I think we can take in Ibn Ezra and Chumash, also in Parshas Kisisa. Rashi points out in Chumash that the word ki has a number of meanings in different places. Rashi has four interpretations, but there's one pasuk where Rashi has a lot of difficulty. Pasuk says in Kisisa, after the Chet O'Egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mochel li'chet. So Moshe says, "Yelachnu Hashem b'kirbeinu kiyam k'sheyerev hu v'salach v'labineinu v'chataseinu v'chaltanu." So Rashi has difficulty in explaining why God should be in our midst because kiyam k'sheyerev hu, because we're not shomrei mitzvahs. How does one follow from the other? So Darshanim explained that ki really means because, with the whole one has been. Rashi has a different shot. Rashi says, Yelach Hashem Kibbeinu is one thing, and then ki, when, if and when, ki amkshi erifu, when will be over there, then masalachta. So ki doesn't really explain the beginning of the pasuk. It's a completely new, like a new pasuk, something else. The Ibn Ezra there points out that sometimes you find the word ki used in the sense of afal pi, despite the fact that, so he interprets that, he quotes it from somebody else, from Moreno's, that Yelach Hashem Kibbeinu, despite the fact that we're not shomrei mitzvahs, you should still have your shechina in our midst. This usage of the word ki is found in a number of other psukim in Tanakh. Mefarshei HaMikra explain this. Another pasuk, one that's outstanding, is the pasuk that we say before Tkiya Shofar that says, Tuv tam v'das lamdeni kiv mitzvei secho ha'emonti. In other words, the Mishorin Tehillah wants to understand the kavanas of the mitzvah, the ideas behind the mitzvahs, because he has emunah. And it would appear as if, a person who has emunah doesn't really have to understand. Why should he wish to understand what's going on? So the Meiri interprets that the pasuk here also, the word ki is used in the sense that the Ibn Ezra interprets the other pasuk, that despite the fact that I have emunah, I still wish to understand the reasons for all of this. So I think the same is true over here. I think that's what Chazal mean. I think that's how Chazal took this pasuk in Kisisa. That you should write the Torah Shabbat, despite the fact that the Krisis Bris will only be on the Torah Shabbat there. Even though the Bris will only be on Torah Shabbat there. Now, getting to, that's just how Chazal interpreted the pasuk. Now, getting to what Chazal meant by this, that the Bris is only on Torah Shabbat there. I think that Tosis really gives us a clue. They don't really spell it out, but they say something which is indicative of Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara here mentions another pasuk from Hosea, Echtav lo rubei terosli k'mozan echshavu. And Tosis interprets, based on a medrash, that the fact that the Torah was written down, and after it was written, it was easily accessible to all of Umos Ha'olam, this itself is a very strange thing. This is k'mozan echshavu. The fact that the Torah is found among Goyim is a very modern thing. So this is only, of course, on Torah Shabbat. But Torah Shabbat, which was never written down, which was only Nimsa to Klal Yisrael alone, and in this lies a singularity that we were chosen, and only to us was given Torah Shabbat. So this is not Zar. This is the way the thing should be. The strange thing, the thing out of the ordinary, the thing that's improper, is the fact that Torah Shabbat is accessible to all. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, which stresses that one should not teach a Goy Torah, this is not permissible. Achronim point out that this Gemara only refers and could only refer to Torah Shabbat Peh, because there's a Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Hei Amid Beis, where the Gemara says explicitly that Umos Ha'olam should read Torah Shabbat Ksav, and the Gemara says that they're punished because they don't read it and they don't abide by the moral and ethical mitzvahs which are included in the Torah. The Maris Chais points this out on the Gemara in Sota. Other Achronim pointed out also on Sanhedrin. So apparently, Torah Shabbat Ksav was given for all of mankind, for all of Umos Ha'olam inclusive, and the thing that was only given to Klal Yisrael was Torah Shabbat Peh. I feel that what the Gemara means here about the Krisis Bris does not mean the Bris to abide by the mitzvahs, because that was one that was a separate Bris. The Bris of Sinai, which was Machayev Klal Yisrael and Shmiras HaMitzvos, certainly applied to Torah Shabbat Ksav and to Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara here is referring to a different bris, namely the bris of Bechiras Klal Yisrael, the choosing of Klal Yisrael, Bechira in the sense that something is irreplaceable. Mashal, when you speak about the Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash, it means that Yerushalayim, the Makom Kodesh, is irreplaceable. Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNevcheres, in the sense that no other Eretz will be chosen as the Eretz HaKdosh, and so on. Anything that Tanakh mentions as having a Bechira means that it's irreplaceable. So too, for example, the Rambam always refers to Maimon Har Sinai is the Maimon HaNivchar, in the sense that the Torah that was given then is irreplaceable. The Rambam stresses, as one of the Ikarim, that the Torah will never be changed. So too, Bechiris Yisrael, and the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael lies in the fact that only to us was given the Torah Shabbat Peh. We know from many sources, in Gemara, I mean, that there is a concept, there is a simple notion of Klal Yisrael in the sense that there's a unity between all of the individuals of the nation. The Gemara says, for example, Klal Yisrael Arevim Zebizeh. So this shows simply that there is a tzirif among all of Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara has in another place that not only is there a tzirif among all those who are present today, but the Klal Yisrael includes all of the past generations as well. That there's a tzirif between all of the generations. I think this is evident from the Gemara increases at Av Chavav Amidbeis, where the Gemara speaks of Egla Rufa. And the Gemara talks, it's a Gemara that's in the middle of Halacha, it's not a Gad there, middle of a Din. So the Gemara says that the Pasuk, when the Egla Rufa is brought, so the Torah says that the Kohanim say, or the Dayanim, I don't recall, they recite a Pasuk, Kapili Amcha Yisrael Asher Padisa in Mitzrayim. And the Gemara points out that the people who came out of Mitzrayim were dead many years ago. And yet the Torah says that this must be said every time an Egla Rufa is brought. So the Gemara says that Ruya Kaparazu should chaper even on Yotzei Mitzrayim. Apparently that the Kapara applies to all of Klal Yisrael, which includes not only those who are alive today, but all of the past generations as well. The same notion is brought out by the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim, where he stresses that the day of this Yom Tov is not Yom Kippur as it's commonly known, but rather Yom HaKippurim B'Lashon Rabim, because Kippurim, the plural, implies Kapara Lachayim and Kapara Lameisim. The Kapara is not to individuals, but to the Klal Yisrael as a whole, and Klal Yisrael includes not only those who are alive today, but even all of the past generations. And for this reason, the Shaloh, also quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is the one who amends the text of the Nusach of the Vidui on Yom Kippur, whereas the old Nusach was Aval Anachnu Chatanu, and we say Hashamnu Bagadnu, the Shaloh stresses we should say Aval Anachnu Avisenu Chatanu, including a Vidui for even past generations, in other words, for all of Klal Yisrael. And I feel that the what this Gemara is driving at is that the Mitzarif of Klal Yisrael through all generations cannot be simply the fact that we're related to each other, because, I mean, the simple proof is you have Gerim, say a Gershon Eis Vein Lo Yarshim, so we never, say the person never had a chance to marry into a Mishpachas Yisrael, never had Jewish children, and his, he's not really a blood relation into the family of Avraham, Bnei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, and yet he certainly is part of Klal Yisrael. So we must assume that the Mitzarif of Klal Yisrael through all of the generations was the Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh. And I feel that this is what the Gemara is driving at here. This is the krisis bris, which the Gemara means, not the bris of the binding authority, so to speak, of the Torah, but rather the bris with a b'chiras Klal Yisrael. In the Mishnayis, we can find the source for the Rambam. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah always uses the expression divrei sofrim to include both dinim which are d'oraisa but are Torah shebal peh, and also dinim which are midrabbanan. The Mishnah uses this expression the very same way. The Mishnah Yerayim Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis, in speaking of mitzvos d'rabbanan, in Pilas Yedayim, in that Mishnah, calls mitzvos d'rabbanan divrei sofrim. On the other hand, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Peches Amud Beis, talks of dinim which are d'oraisa. The Mishnah talks there about tefillin, which require four parshas, not three, not five. The Mishnah calls this divrei sofrim. Now, certainly the fact that tefillin require four parashios is Torah Shebal Peh, is midoraisa. And yet the same expression, divrei sofrim, is used for both Torah Shebal Peh and for dinim midrabbanan. The reason for this, of course, is that Torah Shebal Peh is nitan l'masorah. If you have a text like Torah Shebiksav, so you can't speak of masorah from one person to another, from one generation to another. You can't consider Torah Shebiksav a mitzarif of Klal Yisrael because it's simply a book. Aside from the fact that it was given to us, that Goyim were also given the right and the obligation to go through the Torah Shebiksav. Aside from that, but simply you cannot speak of Torah Shebiksav as a mitzarif of people because it's a book which is outside of the person, separate from the individual. When you speak of Torah Shebal Peh, you're talking of something that one person passes over to another person, so people have to be involved in an oral transmission. So only there you can discuss a divrei sofrim in the sense that the sofer as a person, as an individual, is involved in this masorah. You have people involved. And in this respect, dinim d'rabbanan and dinim d'oraisa, which are Torah Shebal Peh, are lumped together by the Mishnah and by the Rambam to be considered in one group as divrei sofrim. I think that there are five different parts to Torah Shebal Peh. Or Torah Shebal Peh includes five different types of dinim. The first would be what the Rambam calls in his Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnayis, the Pirushim HaMekubalim MiSinai. The Rambam gives a number of examples. For example, he says, Pri Eitz Hadar, as interpreted by Chazal, means Esrog. And this is the simple shot in the Pasuk. It's not that this is a Masora outside of the Pasuk. This is the literal translation. Ayin Tachasayin, the Rambam says, doesn't mean Kipshuto, it means Mamon. And this is the translation of the Pasuk. The Pasuk never meant otherwise. It's not that the Pasuk meant one thing, and Halacha says you should not abide by the Pasuk. The tradition tells us that that's what Pshat in the Pasuk is. Also, for example, the Tatafas Bein in Echad, the tefillin should be placed between one's eyes, does not mean that Tarsh Viksav says you should put it over here. Tarsh Valpe requires that it should be on the hair. But Pshuta Shal Mikru is B'makam Seyer. It should be on top of the head. So this is what the Rambam calls Perushim HaMekubalim MiSinai. The second class of dinim, which is included in Torah Shabbat Peh, would be the drashas of the psukim, which Chazal always have. As for example, the Gemara says in Gittin that a get must be written lishma. The Gemara says that this is derived from the pasuk law, the cost of the law get creases law lishma. If one were translating the pasuk simply, one would not say, and the husband should write a get for the specific intention of divorcing his wife. The pasuk means he should write a get. But this is a halacha already, which is based on a drash, that the get must be written in Shema. Also, for example, in Gittin, the Gemara derives from Sefer Krisus that you require Kroz Gita with many halachas involved. The Gemara is about Tanoim, but all kinds of things. Again, if someone were translating the Pasuk, this would not be Pshuta Shal Mikra, that you wouldn't translate the Pasuk as saying that there should be no Schus HaBal mentioned in the get, or no Tanoim mentioned, which is not limited by Zman or something like that. Pshuta Shal Mikra is Sefer Krisus, simply a get. And this is only a drash. The third class would be the drashas which Chazal derived from the Pesukim based on the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and the drashas Bahem. As for example, again, Gemara has in Gittin that not only must a Getisha be written Lishma and have all of the dinim of Kros Gita, but the Shtar Shichur also requires the same dinim. The Gemara derives this from Xerah Shavah, Lo Meisha, that the Shtar Shichur of an Eved has the same halachas as Getisha. And not necessarily Zereshav, but all of the Yud Gimel Midos. A fourth class would be Halachas L'Moshe MiSinai, which are not Pshuta Shal Mikra, and are not Rashis based on Pesukim, and are again not based on Yud Gimel Midos, but simply Masores, which are not based on anything, just Halachas as separate from Torah. As for example, that tefillin should be black, the Halachas must be Shcharim. There's no Makor, there's no Remez whatsoever in Chumash. This is straight Halachas L'Moshe MiSinai. In fact, the Rambam lists off all of the Halachas L'Moshe MiSinai, and it comes out that tefillin has the lion's share. Merubos, everything is filled with halacha moshe mitzvah, because there are no psukim at all telling you anything about filling. A fifth class of Torah Shabbat Peh would be dinim derabbanan. As we mentioned before from the Rambam and from the Mishnayis themselves, we see that the Rabbanans are also classified as divrei sofrim in the sense that they're also part of Torah Shabbat Peh. In the Rabbanans, I would think, though, that there are two different types of the Rabbanans which we must distinguish between. The first I would consider siyogim and gzeiros the Rabbanan, in the sense that they're not, not that the Rabbanan said that a certain din, a certain thing is a din, but really just to avoid a certain other din, to avoid a certain other aveir, the Chacham said, be careful about something else. The Torah is gzeiro. And the second class of dinim the Rabbanan would be simply straight dinim the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that something is really a halacha. As for example, we studied just last week that, say in Hilchas Shabbos, let's say Bishul is Asur if one uses fire, that's Ur, or if one uses Toldos Ur. If one uses, however, Bishul B'chamo is Mutar, both Midirabbanan and both Midirais and Midirabbanan. Bishul B'toldos Chamo is Asur Midirabbanan. So it's not, of course, every Dindirabbanan must have a reason. They must have a reason why they instituted the Dindirabbanan. So the reason why they instituted the Isur of Bishul, even in Toldos Chamo, was because it's easily confused between Toldos Chamo and told the sewer. But that's just the reason. But after they instituted the halacha, it becomes a real din that Bishul told us Chamo is considered Bishul. It's not that it's a gzeri, you shouldn't do this, and this thing you're doing is not really called Bishul. It's just something that you can't really describe. It's a neutral act. And you shouldn't do this neutral act because you may come to do something else. The din is at Midir Rabbanan, this is called Bishul. While on the other hand, there are many din Midir Rabbanan, which do not have, which are not really considered halacha, even with the Rabbanan, they didn't say that this is called what the use of the rice is. The Shas, the Rabbanan said, don't do this because you may come to do that. An important distinction between these two different classes of the Rabbanans would be whether any system must be worked out to equate or somehow to make even all of the Rabbanans. For example, the Magen Avraham says in Hilchos Shabbos, in Siman Shin Zayin, Sifkat Zayin, he quotes a Magid Mishnah, who points out that in Shavuos in the Rabbanon, you cannot say Zed Namal Azed. It's an expression that the Gemara has as far as something else. In other words, that one need not look for a pattern in a system to fit in all Dinim of the Rabbanon in Shavuos. But on Shabbos, the Gemara of the Rabbanon, many of the Shavuosim are not, as we said in Bishul, that the Rabbanon, this is called Bishul, many of the Gzeiros are not like that. It's just a Debataris Gzeiro. So if you have a thing that's a Din, with the Rabbanon, this is called a Din, so it has to fit into some pattern. Hashenikin is just a gzera, so here there was one gzera, here there's another type of gzera, and they need not fall into any specific pattern between themselves. Need not be any logical system among all of the different gzeras. In one case there's reason to make a gzera, in another case there's no reason to make a gzera. The Ramban in the Lachamas on Yevamos, Kuftes Amibes, also points out the same thing as far as gzeras to Rabbanon. He talks there about Erevot, Saras Erevot, but he mentions the same notion, that the thing Zeros, one need not look for a pattern in a system. The Rav once pointed out that with respect to the Klal that the Gemara has in the beginning of Beitza, that ain't goes from Zero to Zero, this most probably would only apply to Dinim which are Betaris Zero. But Halachas which are really Dinim, this would not apply. So we gave an example just last week when we studied Hilchos Shabbos, for example, Basa B'chala, Minatar is only also Derech Bishul, and with Rabbanan it's also to eat, say, sandwich of meat and drink a glass of milk at the same time. In other words, Midiraisa, Mitzaref of Basa B'chalav is Bishul, Midirabbanon Suda is Mitzaref, or we'll say is Man Suda, 6 hours. Man Suda is Mitzaref. Then again, Midiraisa only Bisar Behemu is Asur, Midirabbanon eating Bisaro is also Asur, let's say chicken. So the Taz raises the problem in Yerodeh, the end of Siman Tzadik, why shouldn't it be permissible to eat a chicken sandwich and drink milk at the same time? This is Xero L'Xero, because you have one Xero of Suda Achas, and the second Zera that is Bisar Oath. So, different suggestions were given there by the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch. The Rav pointed out that really there's no kasha, because there's a difference between Xeru Xeru and a Trade Rabbanon. We have all the time in Hilchos Shabbos, a Shavuos to Shavuos. And we have many Dinim which are really Trade Rabbanon. There's nothing wrong with having a Trade Rabbanon. The only thing the Gemara says you cannot have is one Xeru built on another Xeru. But if the Din is not a Xeru, it's a real Din de Rabbanon, then you can't have a Xeru Xeru. Now this Gemara in Yitin, Nav Samach Amud Beis, about the Krisis Bris, this drasha, this Pshat Nepasik, is mentioned in the middle of a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lozer rather, and Rabbi Yochanan. They argue there as to whether Rov of Torah is Biksav or Balpeh, is the majority of Torah that we have written down, or is it oral? Now the Mefarshim of course they ask, how is it possible to have such machlokas? We know that Torah Biksav only contains 5 small svarim. And Torah Shalapeh contains so many more volumes. Rabbi Akiva Eger over there on the Gemara points out that the Be'er Sheva has a pshat. Now this pshat, I didn't look in the Be'er Sheva, but the Primogodim quotes the Be'er Sheva. Again, the Primogodim in the Psicha Kolalis refers to this Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva says that Rashi is solving the problem. Rashi says on the Gemara that the machlokis is as to whether the third grouping of Torah Shalapeh, which we mention as Torah Shalapeh, namely those dinim based on Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and Dreshes Bahem, are these to be considered Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebalpeh, because they're based on Psukim, and yet they're not Pshutah Shal Mikra, they're Dreshes, based on the Midah Shatar and Dreshes Bahem. So this is what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar are disagreeing about there, whether this is to be considered Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebalpeh. But the problem is, okay, so that's Pshat Nigmar, but the problem is, what's the big difference whether something is Torah Shebiksav or Torah Shebalpeh? I mean, it's Torah anyway, even if it's Torah Shalapeh, even if it's the Rabbanim, it's still binding. And why is the Rambam always so stressing that something is the Raisa and something is Divrei Sofer? If he says something is Divrei Sofer in the sense that it's the Rabbanim, so I understand, because it's Sveikah the Rabbanim Lekula, there are many dinim that special dinim in the Rabbanim separate from the Raisas. But why does he always distinguish between, why did the Rambam and the Mishnayos distinguish between dinim, which are all the Raisa, between those which are Torah Shebiksav, and those which are Torah Shebalpeh? The Primogodim has a list of nafkaminis there, lahalachet, but a lot of them are very difficult. I think that a basic, and perhaps the basic distinction between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh is that Torah Shebichsav is not nitfas in Haro'ah. For example, if a person has a shayla, if a kohen has a shayla whether he's allowed to be mitami lemeisim, and a rav tells him that he's not allowed, but he can't say that the rav passed him the shayla, that a kohen is also mitami lemeisim. It's not a shayla that one asks the rav, and it's not a psak. It's paskin chumish. It's like achrenim always say, marim lakam anilach. In chaskin chumish, he's just pointing out where to look. He's not passing anything. A sheni kohen, for example, if a kohen bizman hazeh asks a shayla that he's tami anyway, and he wants to know whether there's a din that he's not allowed to be mitami lemeisim again. This is already something which Torah Shebaalpeh discusses. This is already a shayla. Then, if a rav will pass in on this, this will be a hayloh. This will be a psak. I feel that this is clear from three different gemaras, where the gemara uses as a criterion for certain halachas the point of davar shehatzdukim modim bo. The very first mishnah in Harayos tells of the din of parhelam davar shel tzibur. The Bezna Hagadol had made a mistake in passing in a shayla. For example, they said that a certain chaylev is really mutter, and really it was asr. Later on, the Bezin realized that they had made a mistake. Before they had corrected themselves, the majority of the tzibur, Rav HaTzibur, got ahead on their say-so, and been over on this aveir. So there's a special din in Chumash, I think this week, etc., that the Bezin must bring a par halam davar shel tzibur. Now, the Gemara points out in Harayos that this is only if Bezin made a mistake on Torah Shebaalpeh. But if they erred as far as davar shehatzdukim modibo, something that even the tzidukim would agree, is also, as for example, he said that muta to drink dam, just dam, all dam is muta. So then it's not shaykh to say that the chayav karbon. So you might interpret this gemara as meaning that there's a shiur in haruah's toes. That how can you say that a haruah betos is called a haruah? They made a mistake, so the psak is false. So why is it called a psak? And the Torah says this din of parhal and davar shel tzibur only applies if there was a psak. So this is the chiddush din that there is such a thing as haro betos. And the Gemara says, but if the mistake is very far gone, for example, if it's even a thing that the tzidukim would agree is wrong, then it's not called a haro betos. This might be a shiur in haro betos, that is. I think, however, that it's not limited to... that's one Gemara. And you might interpret that it has nothing to do with haro in general. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, likewise says a similar din, which you might interpret the same way. The din is... One of the 10 differences between Din HaMominis and Din HaNefashos, the differences are all based on schus, that we should look after the schus of the individual involved in Din HaNefashos more than Din HaMominis. So one difference is that if the Bezna had paskin liftur, Bezna said that the person is not chayiv, and then later on Bezna realized that they had made a mistake. So the din is that Eimach Zivun Lechov, and if Bezna cannot recall the case, double jeopardy in other words. If Bezna cannot recall the individual and paskin on that, he's now chayiv. And the Gemara points out in Sanhedrin that this only applies if the mistake was davar she'enat tzidukim modibo. But if they made a very elementary mistake, which is simply against the pasuk in Chumash, then this din of eimach zivun lechov does not apply. So here too, you might interpret the very same way as we interpret in Harayos, that it's a shiur in haruah's toes, that if the mistake is very clear, very evident, then it's not even called a haruah betos. However, I think from the Gemara in Sanhedrin daf peiches amud beis, that it's a general din in all haro'os, in the sense that I pointed out, that only Torah Shebaalpeh is nitfas in haro'ah. Torah Shebichsav, not sure I have to paskin about, because it's simply written. Torah Shebaalpeh, which is nimsar to individuals, to people, there it's shaykh to say that a person is paskin. He as an individual is paskin what Allah is. In Sanhedrin, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah quotes all the din of Zakeh Mamre, and the Mishnah states there that a Zakeh Mamre is only chayiv if he paskins on a davar sheikar midivrei Torah, ufeirusho midivrei sofrim. If he paskins on something which is a din d'oraisa, that's what it would appear. And the thing that he was disagreeing about was midivrei sofrim. As for example, Mishnah says about tefillin. He said that tefillin should have 3 parashios or 5 parashios. And there, it's not really a haro'ah betolos on the part of the zaken mamre, because, alright, in this case it happens that it is, when he says about 3 parashios or 5. But say, what if the machlokis is about something else on which you have no masor? I mean, this is a clear-cut case where he's making a mistake. What if you have a shayla which Bezna HaGadol themselves had no tradition on? The din of Zakeh Mamre still applies. Even though the Bezna HaGadol just decided at that moment, they decided that the din should be against the Zakeh Mamre. The Zakeh Mamre goes ahead and passes against them, so the Mishnah says that he is chay. Now, in this case, he can't really say that the Zakeh Mamre's haro is betos. Who says he's mistaken? Maybe he's right in the Bezna's rule. The only thing is that I think it's clear from there that this halacha of haro The din of Davash HaTzduka Morim Bo is a shir in Hara in general. That Hara is only possible on Torah Shabbat, not on Torah Shabbat. And I think this is the basic difference, the basic nafkamina between the Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, rather Rabbi Lozim and Rabbi Yochanan, in Gittin, as to the nafkamina between Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat. I mean, they're arguing, probably in a halacha, whether the majority of Torah is Bichsal or Balteh. The nafkamina would be, as far as these Yud Gimel Midos, whether one could become, for example, a Zochan Mamri, if the Machlokis would be based on that. In Sukkiyah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara mentions two of the Midos Shatar and the Dreshes Bohem, and distinguishes between the two. The Gemara says that Zera Shove, a person cannot be done Elam Ken Kibla Mirabo, while a Kal Chomer Adam Don Meyasim. On this Gemara, there's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi claims that when the Gemara says Zera Shove, the Gemara means all of the Yud Gimel Midos, and then the only one exception is Kal Chomer. Only Kalvachomer Adam Don Meyasma. Everything else must have a Kabbalah. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos points out that for many Gemaras, you can see clearly that the Rabbanim were arguing based on their own Svaras, not in traditions. Tosfos interprets just the reverse, that when the Gemara says Kalvachomer Adam Don, this includes all of the Yigim Amidos, and the only one exception is on the reverse, Gzerah Shavim. Only on Gzerah Shavim one must have a Masor. Now, if you really look into the matter, it comes out very clearly that Rashi is here stating something very startling, that the entire Torah Shebaal Peh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu from A to Z, with the exception of Kal Vachomer, which is simply logical deductions, but I mean, this is also simply, it's implicit logically in what is there before it's explicated. So Rashi claims that the entire Torah Shebaal Peh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Anytime you have machlokas, Satana and Amora, Arishon and Achron, any machlokas on any Svara, it's really machlokas. What did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai? Simply a historical machlokas. Exactly what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe? In other words, machlokas simply is that the tradition was lost. Really, there was a masorah on everything, and the majority of this masorah was forgotten, lost. And the machlokas, every machlokas is exactly what did Moshe Rabbeinu hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yeah, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. Yeah, okay. The Rambam, in the Hakdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos, quotes the Shita. He doesn't say it's Rashi, he just says that somebody said. And he's very strongly against it. He says, for a number of reasons. First of all, it doesn't really make too much sense to assume that the Torah Shebaal Peh, which was so important, was so forgotten by the Chachamim. And secondly, he says that it would be a great disgrace. We would be imputing disgrace to the Chachamim to say that they had forgotten all of Torah Shebaal Peh, and all of the machlokas, and really are historical machlokas, and what was the tradition, and everything was simply forgotten. So the Rambam says that Tosfos is absolutely right, that anything, and this is where the Rambam has his famous statement that so discussed in Achronim, anything that there was a tradition about, there was never a machlokas on. Anything that was anything that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, you never have a machlokas on. The Rambam says it's not only in the Hakdamah, the Pirush HaMishnayos, he repeats this in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. He says the same thing. In other words, anything that was a tradition from Moshe concerning, this certainly was not forgotten. Of course, the Chavis Yoyer has a tshuva where he shlugs up the Rambam and he lists a whole number of Gemaras, but the Gemara has machlokas in Torah Shebaal Peh, even in Halachas Moshe Misinai. For example, we learned Baba Kama about Tzuris. Gemara says Tzuris pays Chatzi Nezek. Gemara says that it's Halachas Moshe Misinai. Simcha says that there is no such thing as Tzuris. So you find a case where there's Machlokes in Halachas Moshe Misinai. You find other cases, Machlokes in Shiurim. So the answer is that the Rambam didn't mean to say that absolutely nothing was forgotten. The Gemara itself says that they forgot so many Halachas to Me'evlo Shal Moshe. Gemara in Tzmura says that they forgot 24,000 Dim. But he means that the majority, I don't know about the 24,000 Dim, but the majority of halachas Moshe Misinai were not forgotten. Here and there, we find in the Gemara a certain dinim which they did forget. But most of the dinim they did not forget. And most of the machlokas were shailas that arose, which there was absolutely no masor on, directly from Moshe. I mean, they had heard from previous generations what they did, but there was something that there was no masor from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe on. And the machlokas was that they were deciding at that time what the halacha should be. You might know that there were three Ravids The one we're most commonly familiar with was the third one. The first one was not the really one of the Rishonim, who was a historian. He wrote a Sefer HaKabbalah. So in his, it's a listing of all of the Shashalas HaKabbalah, different generations of Talmidei Chachamim. So he says in his Hakdama to the Sefer HaKabbalah, and this is quoted by the Kuzari Hasheni in his introduction, he thinks like Rashi, that all the machlokas are based on forgetfulness, and he refers you to the Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Peches Amud Beis. For the Gemara says that before the times of Beisham and Beis Hillel, people used to really learn, and they knew all the dinim. And then the times of Beisham and Talmidim, Mishirabu Talmidei Beisham and Beis Hillel Shloshim Shekol Tzark, and they didn't learn enough. So the Gemara says, Rav Samachlokas B'Yisrael, and this he interprets as meaning because of forgetfulness. They didn't learn enough, and they didn't preserve the tradition which they had had. There was a full tradition covering every halakh. Outside of this Ravid, who is, again, I want to stress, not the famous Ravid, is the Ravid Balkabal, he's a historian. Outside of the Ravid and Rashi, no other Rishon thinks like this, I don't think. Pardon me? I don't know. Yeah. It might be. I didn't see Rav Shmuel Gunn's letter. The Aruch, under the Erech of Hei Lamed Chaf, Halach, speaks of what the word Halacha means. And as his definition he gives you, that Halacha means something that keeps on going, because Halacha is ever growing, one generation to the next. Dover Shehalech Uvor, the Kodem V'Yatzov. He claims that the Halacha is ever expanding. This is clearly like Tosfos and like the Rambam. The Kuzari Hasheni in his introduction somehow blends together the Rambam Nahakdama Tepirish HaMishnayis and this Ravid Bala Kabbalah, but I think that clearly he made a mistake, that the two different shittas, that Rashi and the Ravid are only Adas Yechidim, and I believe that the majority of the Rishonim think, like Tosfos and the Rambam, that most machlokas in the Gemara were based on Nusha, and this Nachachamim had the right to darshan the Midrash HaTorah and the Dreshes Bohem at will. Of course, with the one exception of Zereshah. I feel that the Ramban also thinks the same way, as evidenced from his comments in the Milchamas and Shabbos, that Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, where the Gemara talks about it's permissible to sweep floors on Shabbos, it's a shayla v'ashvuyi gumos, of boneh, or of chofer, whatever it might be. So there's a machlokas hatanoim in one certain case, whether it's permissible or not. So some Rishonim interpret that the machlokas is one of metzius. Is sweeping a floor with a broom considered a psik ratio that there will be ashvuyi gumos? Or is it not a psikration? Ramban says that this is ridiculous because Hadafa Rochok Lahamid Machlokes Chachamim B'Davish Epshur Lamed Olav. This is the famous Ramban's notion in a number of places that it would be very queer to assume that Chachmi HaGemara were arguing about a Machlokes in Mitzvahs. He says the same thing in the beginning of Eilu Treifus. The Gemara has the famous Machlokes as to whether Treifa Chaya or Treifa Eina Chaya. It's Pasha the Machlokes in Mitzvahs, and he asks, he doesn't understand as concerning a fact which they could have checked scientifically. And he explains exactly what the machlokas was. He refers you there to a Yerushalmi, also Yerushalmi in Trumas, with respect to a person who was mafresh kishos from Imtis Mara, about being mafresh truma from cucumbers. So the Yerushalmi there talks about whether kishos, which are bitter, are considered royal amaychal adam or not. So the Yerushalmi says, how could it be a machlokas satanai? Why don't they just taste it and see whether it was or not? There's another famous Yerushalmi she doesn't refer to, but others do, as to the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri in the Rabbanon, that whether Orez V'Doch and Aboim Lidei Chimutz or not, whether the rites can become Chametzik or not. So the Yerushalmi also asked, why didn't they just check it and see whether it was Boim Lidei Chimutz, just pour in some water and see if it would become Chametz or not. And Yerushalmi says that they did. He must have did experiments. Yerushalmi explains exactly what happened. So the Ramban, based on these two Yerushalmis, stresses this point, and he has it in a number of other places also, aside from these two, in Shabbos and in Chulin, that it's very unlikely to assume that Machlokas Nigmara is Machlokas Mitzvahs. And this is exactly what the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayis also, in his Hakdama there, when he says that it would be very strange to assume that every Machlokas Nigmara is a historical Machlokas, exactly what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the tradition. Machlokas certainly are based on personal sources. There's a new shaila. There's a problem involved in each case. Machlokas was something historical, so they could have checked up from sources. They could have looked it up or found out in some way or another. Apparently, it's not a machlokas in Mitzvahs of exactly what happened. Let's, for argument's sake, let's assume like Rashi, that all of the midos, a person cannot be done by himself, with one exception of Kal Vachomer. So what it boils down to is that among the Yud Gimel midos, from all of the Yud Gimel midos, you only really have one. Because the other midos you can't use in one direction or the other. You can't use them to darshan anything. Everything you must have by tradition. And in a sense, it comes out that all of the 12 midos are just remazim, a way to remember a din that you have by tradition. Because if you wouldn't have the midah, it would have been in the halacha Moshe Sinai anyway. And if you forget the midah, you also have the din, because the din is by tradition. So what do you need the midah for? Avzidin kabaretz. You have it to just to remember what the din is. You only have one midah, kal vachomer. So the problem is, what do you need the midah of kal vachomer for? It would appear as if the midah itself, the midahs themselves were given the Moshe Sinai. This the Rambam mentions in the Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnayos, and I imagine that he must have some black and white source for this. Now, according to Rashi, 12 midos really are just like, we might call them asmachtas, just a way to remember the tradition that one has. You only have one midah, that midah is Kal Vachomer. This midah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. It's a midah, ayoda nitma hatara lidoresh. So this is very strange. Why should we need a special midah of Kal Vachomer? By simple logic, we should assume that when you have a Kal Vachomer, you can certainly darshan. It's not really a midah that's specifically limited to Torah. For example, if you have a klal prata klal, so if you read Shakespeare, you can't darshan with the klal prata klal. So if you say that it's a midah, so you really need a masorah on this. But if you say kal vachomer, this is a logical principle which you use in any chach, in any discipline. So why should it be a special masorah on the midah of kal vachomer? The Shagasari in the Tshuvas HaChadoshos raises this problem indirectly, very indirectly, but he gives a very good, he points out something very important. He points out that there are two different types of kal vachomer. One is a kal vachomer which he calls Mineyu Bei. What is a kal vachomer Midin Echod L'Chaveiro? Now the kal vachomer Mineyu Bei is just plain logic. For this you don't have to have any midah, you don't have to have any masorah. This clearly, even if there would be no midah of kal vachomer, a person could darshan. Because this you use in any discipline of study. The only masorah was on the kal vachomer of Midin Echod L'Chaveiro. And he points out that this midah of kal vachomer is not really simple logic. Because the Gemara has klolim of when you may darshan the kal vachomer, when you may not darshan the kal vachomer, and pirchos koldehu. The Gemara has principles, rigid principles, which are not logical principles of when you can use and how you should use the kal vachomer. In other words, the midah of kal vachomer, which was nimsar, the special, unique midah, was, I feel, based on the theme mentioned in Tosefta in Sanhedrin Perek Vav. The Sefta says a very interesting din there, that there's a whole seder of how a Rebbe should learn with his Talmidim. And the Sefta talks about dinim, all these dinim according, many of them according in Yeridei, Hilchas Talmud Torah. So one klal mentioned there is about what a Talmud has a right to ask when Rebbe's learning Yavam, his Talmud shouldn't ask on Sanhedrin, something of the like. He should ask about what they're learning, and what if, say, in the Beis Medrash, when two people have a shayla, one has a shayla halach l'maiste, one has a shayla stam and lomda, so which one should the Rebbe answer first? There's a whole procedure there. So the Tosefta mentions that if a Talmud happened to ask a kasha in a shir, which was shalai min huinyan, which was not related to the topic they were learning, so the Tosefta says that he must excuse himself and say, shalai kinyan shal, must apologize. And that's what Rebbe Meir says. The Chacham say that it's not necessary because kol ha-tayro inyon echod, that really everything is min huinyan. Can't really speak of shel shalai kinyan because everything is interrelated in Torah. So I think that what the Shagasari is driving at in his tshuva, that there is a special need of kal vachomer, is that really midin echod l'chaveiro is not so pashut that one can darshan a kal vachomer, because one need not assume that there's any relationship between one din and the other. It might be that shen b'shus hayachid is chayv nezik shalem, and kerem b'shus hayachid is only chayv chatzin nezik, right? Tarfon claims that you have a kal vachomer should be chayv nezik shalom. Kal vachomer is, he makes a relationship, he says that you must have a system and a pattern between all of the dinim, among all of the dinim, shen and regal and karen, everything has to fit into one system. But not for the midah of kal vachomer that tells us that all the dinim must be related, I would assume that this is not necessarily so. It might be that shen is one din, and regal is another din, and karen is a third din, and there need not be any relationship. But this is the special midah of kal vachomer which tells us that all of the Torah is one unit in ideas. one of the other midos which the Tanaim drashes for him, which the Torah drashes for him, is the binyan av. Binyan av means that if I have in one pasuk, I have ascertained that a certain word has a certain meaning, that I can safely assume that the word has the same meaning whenever it's found in Chumash. As for example, Rashi says on Chumash that whenever the pasuk says aid, it means two aidim, even though it's used the lashon zachar, because I have one pasuk which shows, it mentions aid echad. Why does it have to say echad? Who said aid? So this shows that usually aid means shnai. Or for example, Rashi says in Kisisa, on lo sabashal gediba chalayiv imo, that gedi means any behemoth, because when the pasuk talks about goats, it says gedi yizim. This shows that the word gedi has a different meaning. In other words, binyan av is a mito which stresses the unity and style of all of Torah Shebiksav. It's a point which stresses unity and style. On the other hand, the Kal Vachomer, the mito of Kal Vachomer, according to the way the Shagasari has pointed out, the special din of Kal Vachomer din Echad L'Chaveiro is a mito which points out unity of ideas among all of the halachas of Torah. A conceptual unity of assuming that there's one system and one mosaic, so to speak. All of Torah makes one pattern. Actually, the mito of Gzeres Shavah, although both according to Rashi and according to Tosfos, Gzeres Shavah is not really a mito which we can darshan by ourselves. You must have a masorah on it. So really, Gzeres Shavah comes out that it's something like an asmachta, right? Just a way of remembering the din. But Gzeres Shavah too is something very similar to binyan av, because Gzeres Shavah means when I have a word in two different places. So binyan av means that the meaning that it has here, it has all over, right? So binyan av is not limited to two specific places. It tells you what the pshat in this word always is. And binyan av is a very simple thing, which adam don meyatzno. A person can figure out by himself what this word stylistically means in Chumash. That means it's just an asmachta. Not at all. Pardon me? For what purpose? I mean, just to remember it in. No, I don't think so. Yeah. And right, I think Gzeres Shavah is also something very similar to binyan av, but just slightly modified. Gzeres Shavah simply means that when you have these two words in two different parashios, it's not that the words have the same meaning literally, but the same halachic implication which one word has is imputed to the other word also. It's imputed not to the word, but to the din in the other place. That if this word implies that a certain din is noeg here, then the same word in the other place implies that the same din is noeg there. So it's something very similar to binyan av, but of course it's on a limited scale, because it doesn't mean the simple pshat in the word, it means halachic implications, and it's only limited to these two places where the word is found, the masorah, only these two places, not to every place where the word is found. You can't have Gzeres Shavah of S. Every place S is found, it means the same thing. In the times of the Tanoim, of course, we find in times of the Amoraim less, we find that they use the Yud Gimel Midos pretty often. Of course, Rishonim Acharonim never use these midos. They just use Kal Vachomer. The basic mito, Kal Vachomer is also not used that common. The basic mito which they use is Mamotzino, simply a logical comparison of different dinim. Exactly what mito does Mamotzino fall under? So as far as this, there's a machlokes among the Farshim. The Ran says in the Dorim, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, that not only is the klal that Ein Onshin Min Hadin, that one cannot be manish based on a Kal Vachomer, but also one cannot be manish based on a Mamotzino. The Meiri and the Dorim also on Daf Gimel Amud Beis thinks like the Ran and explains why. Because he says that the Midah of Mamotzino is really part of the Midah of Kal Vachomer. It's one and the same Midah. The Shoshana Salmakim, that I mentioned before by the Prima Godim, quotes an Acharon in the very first klal of his Sefer. This Acharon thinks, and I'm sure that there are some Rishonim on the Sifra who think the same way, this Achron thinks that the mito of Mamotzino really is binyan av. And based on his understanding of Mamotzino, he asked, of course, the famous Kasha, so what do you need the 13th mito of Kal Vachomer for? Every Kal Vachomer is binyan av with a Kal Vachomer. The Kal V'chomer means that the things are really equal, plus, they should certainly be equal, right? So yes, what do you need Kal V'chomer? It should always be a mamatzinu and fall under binyanah. Okay, but we might safely assume, like the Niri says, that there's a basic distinction between binyanav and Kal V'chomer, that binyanav means unity in style, of Torah Shebiktav, and similar to this would be Gzeres Shavah, while the meat of Kal V'chomer is unity in ideas and the point that all of Dinei HaTorah are interrelated, and as part of this we should include Mamatzinu, that it should go under the meat of Kal V'chomer. Now, we mentioned before that according to Rashi, the only meter which one may use is the Mamatzinu. This is the only one that Adam Don Meyasma. I mean, Mamatzinu and Kal V'chomer then. One might be safe in assuming, though, that Rashi would agree that, for example, what we mentioned as the second class of dinim and Tarash HaBalpeh, the drushes have to do as, for example, Lola Shmo, Akrisis, Kros Gita, and so on, it might be that Rashi agrees that these Adam Don Meyasma, these were Nitnu Lidrush, because it's not really a Midah. The only thing he disagrees about are the Yud Gimel Midos. We find in Rishonim in rare occasions where they darshan psukim, they learn out new dinim from psukim, but most of the time they never do this. Most of the time they just base all of the new halachas on Mamatzinu and Kal V'chomer. I would assume that really the Rishonim and Echron would have the right. I don't know that this would be limited dafke to Bezna HaGodol. I would assume that one might have the right today also to darshan the Torah with the Yud Gimel Midos if you wish to. It's just that conventionally people just don't do it. It's not really necessary. But I would assume that if one wanted to, one would have the right to. Now, again, assuming like the majority of the Rishonim, that is Tesis, before them the Aruch, the Rambam, the Ramban, that all of the Midos, one may darshan by himself. And assuming that even Rashi agrees, the Psukim, as for example, let's imagine, I don't know, it might be that it was, but let's imagine that the drush of Lol Shmo was not given to Moshe Rabbein. Let's say it was invented later on by some Chacham, as a deraisa, of course. So, the problem, of course, arises that there are so many midrashim which state that anything which a Talmud Vasik is Asr L'Chadosh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. The Nefesh HaChayim, in one place, lists off about 25 midrashim where this is mentioned. So the problem is that this is a clear-cut raya, really, to Rashi and to the Sefer Kabbalah, the writer. Everything really was. There was a tradition as to everything absolutely, and things were just forgotten, as he interprets the Gemara in Sanhedrin about Mishra L'Tamid B'Sham V'Sul. This, however, cannot be. And I think, I don't, okay, we'll get to it. The Gemara says in Menachos, and Av Chavtes and Beis, a very famous Agarta, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was shown a view of Rabbi Akiva saying a shir to his Talmidim. And the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying, Chol Shadat, because he didn't know the halachas, he didn't understand what was going on. And then when somebody asked the Kashin, Rabbi Akiva said, as halacha Moshe Sinai, so Moshe Rabbeinu was very happy. So from the Gemara you see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu, the man, but received the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in person, did not know all of the halachas. So certainly there must have been some halachas that weren't as chashu later on. This could not apply. You can't really limit this Gemara to Kal V'chomer, because the only thing that was added on in later generations is Kal V'chomer. So I would imagine that Moshe Rabbeinu would have understood that he could have caught on pretty quickly. We might be safe in assuming, like all of the Rishonim, or at least in assuming that Rashi would also agree that Rashi's HaPsukim were Nitnu L'Dorish. What the Midrashim mean by Kol Mash Talmud Vasik Asi L'Chadesh with Nemar L'Lam Moshe Misinai is not really that every din befrat was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It simply means that the system was given to Moshe Rabbeinu with the right to the authority to darshan the Yud Gimel Midos, the right to use the Yud Gimel Midos in interpreting Pesukim. Simply means that everything is implied within the system of Torah which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't mean that everything was explicitly spelled out word for word, blow by blow, to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. The Kuzri Hasheni, in discussing why there was a need for Torah Shebaalpeh, says very balabatish that Moshe Rabbeinu was only in HaSinai for 40 days and it would be impossible to have learned all of Torah Shebaalpeh in that short amount of time. So certainly you can't assume that everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, every single din in the Yeridei, and all Abba Chelku Shalom. I'll get to that. But the problem is, what does it mean? Let's say, for example, the din of Lishmo was invented. It might even be mashma so from Taisus, where Taisus says that Bnei Kutzlorts when that became Lishma. So Taisha says, why only this din? There was some of the other dinim. Taisha said that they didn't hold from this drasha. It would appear as if somehow the drasha was the Rabban and Darshan at some later day. The Ben Chutzlorts didn't like it. It might not be so. Let's imagine that this din was invented later on by the Chachamim as a din d'oraisa. So really, it would seem very strange. How can you really consider this as a din d'oraisa if it was not told to Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, al pi svarer, what should have been, Rashi and the Rabbis are certainly right. When you speak of a din d'oraisa, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was given this din on Har Sinai. When you look in the Gemara, you see that it's an untenable position. But l'chera Rashi should be right. So just to explain this point is a very interesting Kedushas Levi by Levi Yitzchak Radichever, where he points out a very interesting Yerushalmi. The Taisus in Gittin already quotes the Gemara in Megillah about the Megillah says Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, which compares Megillah to Amita Shal Torah. Gemara says it as far as Sirta, as far as different din. Or Gemara says it as far as another din. No, Taisus says about this. The Yerushalmi has the very same drasha, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, that Megillah is like Amita Shal Torah. It says something completely different. The Ma Torah is Nitna Lidoresh. Af Megillah is Nitna Lidoresh. And from the Yerushalmi would appear that Amita Shel Torah means Torah, not Mezuzah, like the Rabbi Natam says. But it says Torah is Nitna Lidoresh. So the Kedusha Slavi simply asks, what do you mean, Ma Torah Af Megillah? I mean, all of Tanakh, all of Kisvei HaKodesh are Nitna Lidoresh. What do you mean, Dafke, these two Svarim? So he points out the Rashi, which is based on the Sifrei and Parshas Matos, where in Tanakh you find whenever the Nevi'im had a Nevuah, so they always say Kol Amar Hashem many times. They never say Zeh HaDavar. The only Navi who said Zeh HaDavar, this is precisely what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded, was Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, the Medrash points out, Sifrei says that Moshe Rabbeinu both had the voice of Kol Amar Hashem and Zeh HaDavar, but other Nevi'im only had Kol Amar Hashem. What's the difference between Kol and Zeh? And it's the same thing, just the Melitzah. It's not like Yecheskel always had Yatov Ben Adam. So you could say that Yecheskel had Yatov Ben Adam, and Yishai Yirmiyah never had that. I mean, what's the Gedula of having Zeh HaDavar? So the Kedushas Levi points out, based on other Gemaras Midrashim, that there was a basic difference between, this is really based on Sukkim, there was a basic difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of Shaar Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was not that he had seen an image and interpreted what he had seen and written, interpreted this in his own words, but rather his Nevuah was one of Oisir's, Tebo's, full sentences. He had a Nevuah of words. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Aharon, that if another Navi has a Nevuah, so then their Nevuah is B'mare Elu V'svada B'chalom Adabrbo. They have Nevuahs of Mare, they have a vision, they see something happening, and then they interpret this in their own unique style. They say their own words, they formulate in their own words exactly what they had seen. Mashenike Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nevuah was not one of a Mare, he simply saw, he had Nevuah of words themselves. This is how the Kedushas Levi understands what Chazal mean. Not that he saw Mara and he translated this into his own words, but rather the very words themselves, which Moshe Rabbeinu had said, were the very same words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him in Nevuah. His Nevuah was one of Osius. Between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh? Yeah. I don't know. The Chazon Ish talks about this in one of his letters. The Kedushas Levi, I think, is in the end of the Sefer. It has Kedusha Rishon, Kedusha Shnei, Kedusha Shnei. It talks about Purim there. So there's one of these Kedushas talks about Hanukkah, Purim, Pesach, Shavuot. So one is on Purim. Yeah. So he simply points out that when can I darshan what it says in the Sefer? Now, if the words were directly given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are the divine words, then you can have different people, can have different hasagas and understanding what this means. So you can have one level of interpretation, then another level. You can have Shivim Panim L'Torah, you can have Shmonim Panim L'Torah, you can have so many different interpretations of what the pasuk means. But if the Navi did not receive the words themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw Mara, and then he interprets it, and he wrote it down the way he interpreted it. So now you can't reinterpret what he said as to mean something else, because you'll be interpreting a Pirush already, you won't be interpreting the Mara. If we would have seen the Mara itself, then we can give a different shot than what it meant. We can understand something else in the Dvar Hashem. But we're not given a replica of the Mara itself. We're not giving a slide or a moving picture of exactly what Navi saw. We're given in the Sifri HaNeviim the interpretation the Navi gave of his Mar. So there's only one interpretation, his. We cannot understand the Mar in any other way. So the only Sefer which is possible to be Darish is, of course, Torah, where the Nevuah was the words themselves, so the text itself is Dvar Hashem. So it's possible to have different interpretations, different levels of interpreting the Dvar Hashem. Why Megillah should be singled out from the other Kisvei HaKodesh has to be equated with Torah. This is a problem, but this is what Yerushalmi says. There's, of course, another famous Yerushalmi which the Rambam quotes at the end of Perek Sheni, Hilchas Megillah, which might somehow be related to this one. But I'm not exactly too sure of what the Rambam means then. The Ramban points out something which is very important. In the Hakdamah, in the Shorash Aleph, in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban in his Hasaga points out that when the Gemara says in Yevamos, that Chav Dalet Amin Aleph, that Ein HaKholot HaRakulo, Ein HaMikur Yotzim Dei Pshuto, except for one pasuk there in Yevamos, this does not mean Ein HaMikur Yotzim Dei Pshuto, that as many people understand that there's only Pshat in the pasuk and nothing else. Chazal would have said Ein BaMikro Elo Pshuto. What Chazal meant was that the Pshat is also correct. That's what he said. The Pshat is also right. It means that you have Pshat, and whatever Chazal says is just a drash. Not because it's Pshuto Shal Mikro, it's a drash. What's the Nafkamina? So as the Rav pointed out a number of times, if a Rebbe would teach children, say, who are very young, Chumash, and he would translate a Pasuk, Pshuto Shal Mikro. Let's take, for example, a Pasuk when it says that a person buys an Amo HaYivriya. The Pasuk warns, Lo Seitzik Etzeiso Avodim. So Pshuta Shal Mikra, we're so used to Rashi's Pshat that we don't know Pshuta Shal Mikra. So the Torah points out that Pshuta Shal Mikra simply means that if you have a woman working for you, it is not proper to ask her to work, say, outside in the fields or outside in the streets, because this is not Midarkei Hatzniyus. The work that you have for an Amo HaYivriya should be Bedavki in the house. So this is Pshuta Shal Mikra. Chazal Darshan, Lo Seitzik, it says to Avadim that Amo HaYivriya is not Yotze B'Shen V'Ayin, and then there's a Hekesh, that Evidivri is also not Yotze B'Shen V'Ayin, the sense of Kitzeso Avodim as a Yitzhi of an Evid, as a way of Shichur, and Avodim meaning Evid Gaini, this is certainly not Pshuta Shal Mikra, this is already a Drashas Chazal. So if a Rebbe would teach with Talmidim, and he would not say what Rashi says, he wouldn't say, Lo Seitz Kitzeso Avodim that an Amo HaYivriya is not Yotze B'Shen V'Ayin, he would simply say Pshuta Shal Mikra, that it's not proper to make a do work outside of the house, because Kol Kvud Abas Melech Nima, you should stay at home. So we would not call the Rebbe an Apikaris, just saying Pshuta Shal Mikra. There's nothing wrong. He doesn't have to teach the 5-year-old kid in Cheder all the Tarash about that. He just teaches them Tarash Viksav. There's nothing wrong. However, say if a person would teach Ayin Tachasayin and say Pshuta Shal Mikra means, as Goyim have interpreted it, then this would simply be Megal Parma Tarash Alayka Halacha, because the Masorah of Ayin Tachasayin was one that said that this was Pshat in the Pasuk. It's not that Pasuk says Ayin Tachasayin, but Halacha is not so. That there's a conflict between Tarash Viksav and Tarash Vapeh. Tarash Baal Peh wins. That's not what it meant. This type of Masorah of Tarash Baal Peh was under the first class, the Pirush Muhammad Kabbalah in Sinai, which were Pashup Shah. The Rambam points out a number of these, as for example, Kriyat Sarah, Kapaspon, Anafei Tzavas, Rabbi Nachal, all these, that it's a Hadas. How do you know what a Hadas is? Just says Anafei Tzavas can mean anything under the sun. So the Masorah says that this word, these three words that we translated as Hadas, this is Pshuta Shal Mikra, not just an additional halach. So the Rambam points this out, that what Chazal meant in Ein HaMikra Yotzim LePshuto was not that there is only Pshat. They would have said Ein HaMikra Elo Pshuto. It simply means that the Pshat is also correct. There is a Pshat, but it certainly does not come to exclude Torah Sheval Peh. But then again, Torah Sheval Peh, and you have the Rosh HaSapsukim, do not mean that you take a few words out of context and you say, this is the impression that people often get when learning, say a person who hasn't learned too much Gemara. One learns just a few blots, say Balabat, and get this impression that the Gemara is taking two words out of a pasuk, saying that this is what it means, and it certainly doesn't fit into the rest of the pasuk. So that this is not pshat in the pasuk is certain. I mean, Balabas has one time that's not pshat. That's right, it's not pshat. Chazal also didn't say it's pshat. Pshat is one thing, and Rashi is something else. But on the other hand, Chazal were not just arbitrarily taking out three words out of context and saying that these words mean this. Chazal, in every drash of Tarash Baal Peh, were reinterpreting some other level of interpretation in the whole pasuk. As we said before from the Kedusha Slavi, because the Torah is Dvar Hashem, these are the words which HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, not just Moshe Rabbeinu's formulation. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that people can darshan, can understand these in different ways, even other than the pshat. But you have to have some, I mean, it has to make some sense. You have to have some interpretation of the whole pasuk, not just to take three words out of context. Just as one example, as for example we said before, L'seitzik itseisu avodim. Chazal are interpreting the whole pasuk, that on a level, on a second level of interpretation, it might mean that she would not have the same yitziyah, the same method of shichur, as an eved k'nayim. Not implicit, but it's another level of interpreting the pasuk. Pasuk can be interpreted some other way. Well, specifically for this mi'ud. Well, I don't think that this mi'ud specifically could be understood, but it's it implies something. Yeah. As for example, I just wanted to mention one marshal, which when people come across strikes them as very strange. But when you take into consideration all of Rosh's Chazal and this pasuk, and you see that Chazal are really interpreting the pasuk at another level of interpretation. There's a very simple pasuk in Chumash that goes, Chag HaSukkos Ta'asalach, Shivas Yamim, Yas Bechol Megarnecha Mikvecha. So the very Pasha Peshat is very clear and evident that we should, Tasa doesn't mean to make, it means you should celebrate the festival of Sukkot for 7 days. Yas Bechol means at the time of the year when you gather in, Megarnecha Mikvecha, the papers from the the tefuah and the wine. Now Chazal say, so many drashas on this pasuk, and taking each one separately, it would appear as if they're just arbitrarily breaking up the pasuk and saying this means that, and that means that. For example, Chazal say tasav laman ha'asui. The pasuk clearly means you should celebrate the holiday of sukkahs, right? But Chazal say when you build a sukkah, it has to be tasav laman ha'asui. The tzach was there by itself, so it's possible, right? So what does it got to do with celebrating Yom? Then Chazal say, Shivas Yamim, the sukkah has to be strong enough to stand for 7 days. It's going to collapse after a day and a half, the whole sukkah is going to go. Then, B'yas B'cham G'anacham Yikvecho, Chazal say, that the schach must be made out of Gidulei Karaka. Gidulei Karaka, Tolosh, Tavashen, and Kalatun. How do they get that? B'yas B'cham Yitzol, it's going to be Yekin. Where do they see that? The pasuk simply says, you celebrate sukkahs. It tells you what time of the year. And then Chazal say, Tabro Olof, they say, Chaga sukkahs, that sukkah is sukkah shalachag, chag meaning carbon chagigo, that a sukkah is asur bahanua kol shiva, shivas yamim, that carbon chagigo is in the pasuk and the sukkah is asmanua. So it would appear at first glance, when you learn each gemara separately, as if the gemara is completely taking two words out of the pasuk arbitrarily, and saying that it refers to something completely different, which is not at all implied in the pasuk. When you take all the drushes together, however, you can notice that Chazal is simply saying that it's possible to interpret the pasuk at another level of interpretation. Because the word tasa is difficult. Why does it say Chag HaSukkos Ta'asalach? Tasa usually means to make something physical. In fact, the Mechilta talks about the pasuk of Rosh Hashanah Bnei Yisrael Asah Shabbos, La'asos Asah Shabbos. What do we mean by La'asos? What do you mean by making Shabbos? Mechilta. Apparently here Chazal will also bother with this pasuk. What do we mean by Chag HaSukkos Ta'asalach? So if you imagine that the word Chag were not written, so you could simply interpret Sukkos Ta'asalach, you should erect Sukkos, Shivas Yamim. What do you mean, erect sukkah Shivas Yamim? It means the sukkah should be strong enough to last for Shivas Yamim. And from the fact that it says Tasa, we understand the method of construction, Tasa v'lam ha'asui. Then B'yas B'cho does not mean at the time of gathering in. This, the Tarat Mim already points out, Chazal interpret on another level of interpretation. Osef can be used as a noun also, meaning something which is gathered in. B'yas B'cho and base could be used as base hakeli, with, like lakach b'yad, to take with one's hand. So it means tase biyaspucha, you should make the sukkah, and sukkah always means the schach. You should make the sukkah with that which you gather in, the garnacha miyikvecha. And with this in mind, Chazal felt that the whole pasuk would work out very well on this second level of interpretation. Just reading without the first word, sukkah is tase loch biyaspucha miyikvecha, you should erect sukkahs with that which you gather in from the field. The only thing was the word chag, so the Gemara said that chag and sukkah should be hyphenated. It's referring to the same thing, the sukkah, which is like a chag. The chag sukkah. In the sense that just as chagige is also b'hanoa, so to the sukkah is also b'hanoa. So it's not the chazal, in this pasuk and in every pasuk, I wouldn't say every pasuk, but most psukim, where the drasha is not just an asmachta, but the drasha is really derived from the pasuk. It's not that they had a kabbalah and were trying to find the pasuk to back it up in that sense, but really where chazal derived from different pasuk, They're suggesting a whole new level of interpretation for the entire pasuk. Now the question was raised before. Let's imagine that the din of Lo Lishma was in Chareish at a later time after Moshe Rabbeinu had been given the Torah. So what do we do with the get that was written before that time, Shalol Lishma? Then it was kosher, and the woman was divorced, and then she had children from the second husband. So certainly not Mamzerim. Now all of a sudden, Bezni decides that the get must be written in the Shema, and the woman's children are Mamzerim and Mafreya. So what should we do about that? So the Simchas HaRegel, which is a sefer by the Chidor, and the Gilas Rus, quotes in the name of the Sifsei Kohen ala Torah. It's not the Shach. It's a Sephardi. Sephardi Shirov. He claims, he gives us one marshal. He says that the din of Amoni v'lo Amonis was Nischadesh, which was Nischadesh by Boaz when he married the Rus. Yeah, later on by Shur. Was only Nischadesh from that time Mikan ala Habo and not the Mafreya. And he interprets this in various psukim. And I would assume that he means this not only as far as this one single din of Amoni v'Amonis, he most probably means that according to the Rambam and Tosfos, the majority of the Rishonim, that Torah Shel Bichsav, is Nitan Lehidorish through the Midrash HaTorah and the Drashis Bohem, this means that these dinim, which are the Arises, would only become dinim, Mikan al Habo, and not the Mafreya. Because HaKadosh Baruch had given us the right to understand the Torah on different levels of interpretation. I found this very strange to understand. Yeah. I found it very strange to understand. Then later on I found that the Shagasari says the same thing. This Rabbi Chana quotes in his Divrei Sofim, Kuntres Divrei Sofim. And he already says this as far as all dinim, not only as far as Amoni v'Lamoni, he says as far as all dinim which the Chachamim had derived at a later date, based on Yud Gimel Midos, or based on Drosh HaPsukim, that these dinim were not Lamafrei, they were only Mikan al-Habo. I don't recall. The Kuzri Hasheni says that it was, but this is Lashita So, because he claims in his introduction that every din, from the beginning to the end, was known to Moshe Rabbeinu. He claims... Alright, we'll take a look. Yes?
Are your understandings of looking at Torah that were even after Rishonim and Nachonim and Ramonim and all the Torahs, are these two have the same validity and acceptance as valid Russia as the time
of the I would assume so. As I said before, I would assume that even today we would have the right to darshan with good Yom HaMinash HaTorah and the Russia. I would assume so. The only thing is the question of authority, which I'd like to get to later. I don't know. As far as that's what you darsh, right? You'll decide you're going to make a call about the call. What about the fellow in Chaim Berlin? Will he be mechuyev to be mekabel what you darsh? So that's the second problem. Whose authority is binding? Not that there was a halacha lo amoni v'lo amonis. It was just the pasuk. The pasuk was interpreted that way for so many years. When he came along, he decided to interpret it differently. Right. No, but it had the validity. Yeah. Right. When Machlon Mikilia married them, they were nanash because they had married amonios. Even if they would have, the pasuk said they were not megayer. Even if they would have been megayer, that's what the Simchas HaRegel discussed. Even if they would have been megayer, they would have still been Asa because the din was not Nischadesh yet, up until Adam was Asa. It was only Mutter from that time on, when the Chachamim had decided to Darshan.
I mentioned before that the Rambam decided that it was possible to have a story that it could be checked, but the whole story was that the part that I'm not sure of my focus is that the thing was lost, the part that couldn't be checked. So how can you say that it couldn't be checked?
No, those that were lost, the Rambam agreed that you do find rare, in rare instances, you find Machlokas. Yeah. But to assume that every single Machlokas is based on ignorance of tradition is real. Yeah. How to darsh, yeah. This is all based on Mamatzinu, Kal Vachomer. But as I mentioned before, most of the Amoraim, and practically all of the Rishonim and Acharonim, only work with the meat of Kal Vachomer with Mamatzinu. You find in rare instances, Rav Amiel points this out, you find in very rare instances where Rishonim have darsh in the Rome Sukkim. Sometimes Achronim also darsh in the Rome Sukkim. For example, when you get me, the Chedusha Rim says in one place that just like by Get, it says Vinasan, Kli Gita Mal Gabi Karka is no good, so too by Kinyan Suter it says Vinasan L'Reyegu, Vigilas Rus. So if you do by Suter, pick up the Suter by yourself, Kli Suter Mal Gabi Karka is also no good. So he invents his own din based on a pasuk. Kedusha, really. The Ramban is also noted for this shita, his agreeing with the Rambam, Tosfos, and the Aruch, that all of the machlokes in Chazal are based on their right to darshim pesukim, that Rabbanan have the power to be mechadish new dinim deraisa based on the klal and the midrash atar and the drashas fam, or the rashas pesukim. The Ramban is famous for his shita of, he states that the Chachamim have the right to determine in a number of places, to determine dinim deraisa, even not based on any pesukim, or not based on any drashas, or any midrash atar and the drashas fam. He calls this hakasav mesorah lachachamim, the nuclear. For example, he says that Melechas Yontif, with his whole problem between Tosfos and the Rambam, a number of places, as to which Melechas Amutran Yontif, Mishum Echol Nefesh, and which are Aser, the Marshal, why the Gemara says the Pharisee is not allowed to squeeze lemons out to make lemonade on Yontif. Certainly Echol Nefesh. You're eating it. What's wrong to make punch, for example? Yeah. So the problem is, why shouldn't this be Mutter on Yontif? It's certainly Echol Nefesh. And doesn't Melechas Amutter? What's the difference? So the Ramban says, Hakasav Mesorah Lachacham. Some Rishonim say that it's not only awesome the Rabbanon. Others say it's awesome the Raisin, say a Pasuk. He says there's no Pasuk and there's no the Rabbanon. It's a Dindi Raisa. And the Rabbanon had the right to determine what was included in the Raisa, what was not. Yeah. Ramban says the same sheet on Melechas Cholamoid also. It's also the Ramban on Melechas Cholamoid. Where some Rishonim say that Cholamoid is Mutu in all Melechas. Others say that it's awesome in all Melechas and they give you Cholam the Raisa, all kinds of Cheshbainis. And Ramban is the one who says that the Pasuk says it shouldn't do malacha, but it doesn't say which malacha. And again, Hakasav Mesorah Lachacharim. Because the Pasuk is slightly vague, right? The Pasuk saying anything... Yeah. Right, here's a new power that the Chachamim were invested with to determine Klolim, determined shot in a pasuk where the pasuk is vague. I didn't write down where they were. They were on the list in the base medrash. Bira Gro quotes the Ramban. Well, this is an expression that the Gemara has, I think. Hakasim Sarah Chalamoid. So the other we shouldn't take it just as a metaphor. I don't think so, because he implies that even at a later generation, at a later date, they can decide it.
How do they know they can decide it?
Oh, yeah, that was the Masada. This power was Nimsa to them. In Yevamis, the beginning of Ha'isha Rabbah, the Gemara, all of the Mishnais, at the end of Yevamis, discuss the din that Erechot is Neman, the Meis Baila, even though there should be a Dovah should be Erechot. And the different Shanim have different Shitas as to why Erechot should be Neman, you should really require two Eidim. So the Rabbi Aaron Halevi, who was a Talmud of the Ramban, also says there that the Nemanis is Nidiyaraisa, based on this famous principle of Hakasav Mesorah Lachachamim, to determine what is Yediyah and what is not. For example, if I have a Yediyah of what happens, I don't have to have any Eidim. Right? Let's say, Erechot Neman Bisurim, and Erechot can tell me that something is kosher or trade. But if I shechted the behemoth myself, I don't have to have another Erechot tell me whether it's kosher or not. I have a personal idea, so I don't need anybody else's mnemonic. So he says, yeah, it's another pshat. So the Ra'os says that so too by Erechot Nemon Bis, by Dovah Shebi'er, if you require two Eidos, only when you don't know what happened, if you don't have any personal idea of the fact, but if you really know what happened, so you don't need Eidos. So he says that if you have a case of Erechot and Meis Bailo, you have Isha Daiko Mitzvah, so Chachamim can determine in each individual case whether this is called Yediyah or not. He also claims that Hakasa Salah Chachamim, as far as Yediyah. This notion is found also in the Tshuvas Maimini, the first Tshuva in Hilchos Ishus, the famous Tshuva, that the Shaila comes up pretty often by Chassanus, that the Eidim are not watching when the Chassanus gives the Kala the ring. So you have a case of Eidus Lakim HaDavar, where the Eidim didn't really see what happened, but they know what happened. So this is called Eidi Yediyah below Eidi Re'iyah, whether this is good or not. So there's a Machlokes HaRishonim to the Maharam, and this Tshuva claims that it's no good, that the Eidim have to see B'davke, Shas when the Chassan puts the ring on the Kala's hand, when he gives it there. So he asks the Kasha, what about the Gemara that says that by Biyah you don't have to have the Eidim watch the Biyah itself, you say, Hein Hein Eidi Yichud, Hein Hein Eidi Biyah. So he says that as far as how much the Eidim have to see, we assume in HaKasim Sarah Lachachamim. Again, as far as certain vague halachas, the Rabbanan are given the right to determine exactly what the shiurim should be. Now, as far as the fifth section, or the fifth part of Torah Shabbat, points to my differentiations, namely those dealing with the Rabbanan, I just wanted to mention one very important point. And with this, I guess I'll have to close. For example, when a person studies Gittin, so he starts from Lefanai Nechtav. So Lefanai Nechtav is a din with the Rabbanan, the Gemara says. Midiraisa, you don't have to say Lefanai Nechtav, Lefanai Nechtav. So in other words, Midiraisa, he's just being Mevatel Zman, the first 2 weeks of Shir, right? Midiraisa is Bittel Zman, Bittel Torah. Then, when does he really start to learn? When he starts getting into Lishma, when he starts to get to whatever daf they've done, the next daf, when he starts learning a din, then he learns an extra of Gemara, starts talking about again another Drabbanan, like Mizuyif Mitaychai, according to Moshe Shem, it's Midrabbanan. So whenever you learn a din Drabbanan, the Gemara, it's Bittel Torah. When you learn a din Midiraisa, so then it's Talmud Torah. Of course, it's Kiyam Talmud Torah Midrabbanan, but Midiraisa is Bittel Torah. So should we assume that this is so? And would it be advisable for one first to study Zvachim and Menachos, which has the Gesunte Dinim Midiraisa in it, and then, if he has spare time later on in his old age, to go through these Dinim Midrabbanan? So most probably this would not be so. Most probably the one who studies, let's say, Maseches Megillah, Maseches Brachos, which is mostly dealing with Dinim Derabbanan, would be Mekayim the same mitzvah of Talmud Torah as one who studies Zvachim Menachos, which has real Dinim Derabbanan. So why should this be so? After all, Midiraisa, there is no such thing of Lefanai Nechtav. There really should be Bittul Torah. Should be Bittul Zman, Bittul Zman, Bittul Torah. So apparently, the Rav pointed out, we must distinguish between two different ideas in Torah. One is the Chetzah Shal Torah, and the second is the Chavis HaGavra. In Dinim Derabbanan, we say that the Din is with the Rabbanan. This means that the need to say Lefanai Nechtav is only with the Rabbanan. The Chavis HaGavra is only with the Rabbanan. Certainly, once the Din was said, so the Halacha itself becomes part of Torah Shabbat Peh. As we said before from the Rambam, from the Mishnayos themselves, but the Mishnah classifies together all Torah Shel Alter and the Rabbanans under one common term of Divrei Sofer. So most probably we should assume that a Chetzah Shel Torah, even the Rabbanans are, they do become part of Torah Shel Alter, not Torah Shel Alter, but Torah Shel Alter. But the only thing, the only aspect of the Rabbanan which they have, the distinguishing feature is that the Chavis HaGavra is only with the Rabbanan. The fact that I'm a chiyuv to say Lefanai Nechtav is only with the Rabbanan. Or the need, let's say, to read the Megillah is with the Rabbanan. But all of the dinim of Megillah, when you study this, are certainly a kiyum of Talmud Torah with the Reis. The halachas themselves become part of Torah Shabbat Torah. This distinction can be found in the Gemara in Erev and Yud Gimel Amud Beis as far as something else. It was mentioned before. The Gemara says about machlokas, about the many machlokas, Bishamai Beis Hillel, that although they disagreed all the time, yet they'll be able to be Elokim Chayim. So what could this possibly mean? Certainly one was right and one was wrong. So what it means is as follows. First of all, this Gemara would appear to be against Rashi. Not only appear, it's pretty conclusive. If we should assume, according to Rashi, that, and the Rai didn't say, that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu from A to Z, and all the machlokas, Besham and Basil, was simply, what did Moshe Rabbeinu hear? They were just a star of a machlokas. So one is right and one is dead wrong. The other Tana who said the other way, simply absolutely wrong. There are two ways about it. It's just Sheker of the Chota. So how could the Gemara possibly say that Eilu Be'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim? It might be a nice try at guessing what the halacha was, but you can't really say that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. But certainly what the Gemara implies is that the halachas were not all given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that certain halachas were left open and contained, certain cases contained both elements of Chiyav and Ptur, Isser and Het. Both Stodim were contained within that case, within that Shaila. Later on, so some Chachamim decided that the one element of Chiyah should be stressed, should be dominant, and that's what should be the halacha. And the other Chachamim claimed that no, that the other element should be stressed, and the halacha should be patur. Some Talmidim claimed that Din should be chai because of that element involved. Some said patur because of that element. But actually, the case could have been judged. Both ways were equally correct, because both possibilities were there, latent, within the situation. And most probably, this is what the Gemara says when it says, Eilu Be'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, the Rav interpreted, that both shitas would be considered the Chetzah Shel Torah. The Rav gave the same mashal again. Now the Gemara says about Beis Shammai that Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't a mishnah. So does the Gemara mean that it's Bittul Torah when you read Beis Shammai shita? Certainly not. The Rav himself just gave a shita 2 weeks ago on Daf Chav Tes and Yevamos, the most difficult sugya, all about Beis Shammai. It has nothing to do with Beis Hillel, just Beis Shammai. So it's certainly not Bittul Torah. It means the Cheftah Shel Torah, even Beishamashi to become. Why? Because both possibilities were latent within the case. Both possibilities are true and contain, both elements were there in the case. The only thing is that as far as Chovis HaGavra, only one way is binding. You're only allowed to do one way, not the other. So the Gemara clearly distinguishes between Chovis HaGavra and a Cheftah Shel Torah. There is a difficult Rambo in Hilchas Talmud Torah where he says that he bases his remarks on the Gemara and the Dorim. The Ramah claims that although there is an issur to take money for teaching Torah, but to teach dinim de rabbanon, one is allowed to be salaried. This din, of course, is very difficult. If we should assume that all dinim de rabbanon become a cheftah shel Torah, when a person say when a rebbe is teaching Torah, he's not. What's the difference? What the cheftah agavra is? Let's say a rebbe teaches vachem menachas b'zman hazeh. So I mean, most probably there's no cheftah agavra. Nobody's going to do the mitzvahs anyway. Just limud l'shem limud, not l'shem ma'asa. And yet, the din is not allowed to take schar for this because he's teaching Torah. So, if we should assume that all the rabbanon should also become chefter shel Torah shel alpeh on the same level, on the same footing as dinim d'oraisa in Torah shel alpeh, so the Ramah's din would be difficult. Why should it be permissible to take schar? The Gemara, which he bases his remarks on, says it there as far as something else, and it's not really conclusive that the carryover is mukhra. I better stop now and perhaps deliver the rest at some other time and leave the rest to somebody else. Okay, are there any questions about what we're discussing?
You said, what's the distinction
between Yeah. Well, that's what I had wanted to discuss, but I don't know. Okay, let's first get to the other questions. Perhaps those will want to stay on to listen and discuss that later. Yeah. Murray says in Gittin Daf on the Rambam Beis that a certain takana is cruisable, that Shmuel wanted to abolish the takana. He didn't like it. Gemara mentioned the principle from the Mishnah in Adios that in order to be mevatel takana of a previous bezin, you require that the new bezin should be godel mimenu b'chachma dominion, greater. It's a Mishnah in Adios. It's quoted in Gittin, Aflamed Gav on the Bezin. So the Rambam says in the beginning of Perek Beis in Hilchas Mamrim, a very important klal, that this principle in the Gemara that godel mimenu b'chachma dominion is required is limited to undoing takanas and zeres of a previous bezin. But if, let's say, a Bezin today would decide that they don't like the din that a Bezin in the previous generation had darshan in the din d'oraisa. As for example, Boaz decided Amoni v'lo Amonis. But if I decide today, I don't like that din. I want to have Amoni v'Amonis. So the Rambam says that any later generation has the right to decide against a previous stock of a previous generation if the Machlokus would be involved in Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas for him, or in Drashas HaPsukim, which is really Nimsar to everybody to darshan. Everybody has the authority to darshan. So a later generation can undo those drushes of a previous generation. Of course, how can the Torah be changed? This is a general problem. If we should assume, as I would assume most Rishonim do, and even Rashi probably also agrees, as we mentioned before about drushes of Suki, that these things are not only hidoresh in every generation. The problem in general is, the Gemara says in Megillah, and based on the base, that the last pasuk in Vayikra, Eile Hadvarim, the Dafke, these are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. The Gemara says, "Eilah hadvarim shein navi rasha lechadish Torah miyat." Nothing will ever be added onto the Torah. So most probably, the Gemara simply means nothing, not within the system, but anything that's based on drashas apsukim, or anything that's based on yud gimel nido, certainly is contained within the system. And a later generation of bezdin, a later generation can undo a psak of a previous dar if they would want to. This would not be considered changing the Torah. I mean, this was the right. The Torah itself gave the right to pass them like this. Oh, the question is who has the right? Okay, that was the second topic I wanted to see. Up until now, I was talking about Cheftah Shel Torah. The second half of my talk was going to be about Chovis HaGavra. So perhaps we should. Pardon me? If they would work within the principles which were given to us on Moshe Mitzrayim, then there would be. Why not? They would be okay. Things that they don't work with. Yes.
What kedusha is in the Sefer HaNevi'im? This word is in the Nevi'im Neila. The Chof Dalet Sfarga, Ari Ikra, what kind of kedusha are you? Would there be anything wrong in changing the words in the novel?
Well, that's the strange Rambam that I had alluded to at the end of Perek Beis in Megillah. The Rambam claims that it's a Yerushalmi, really. It's the Rambam's shot that Lasid Lofo, only two Svarim will remain. Six Svarim, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Megillah, Megillah says. The other Nevi'im will be bought. The Ravid claims that the Yerushalmi simply means that Lasid Lofo, when people will be tzaddikim, will be no need to read the Nevi'im, because the Nevi'im just give Tochacha and Musar for people who are Chatoim. People are tzaddikim, so there's no need for Sefer Musar. The Rambam claims that the Kedusha will be Pachah then. Somehow the Rambam thinks that the Svarim only have temporary Kedusha. They do have some Kedusha though, because it was Nichtav of the Nevuah. It was an obvious interpretation of his Nevuah. According to the Rambam, it means that they won't be at all Kisvei HaKodesh. They won't be part of that. No, I don't know. I don't know what Pshat in the Rambam is, but that's what he says based on Yerushalmi. It's true, according to this, the Yerushalmi goes with Shitasa, the way the Rambam thinks. That somehow the other Nevi'im are much different from Torah and the...
Why is he accepted by the other Nevi'im?
Again, I don't know. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Yes?
Are the
there too, the Gemara points out that the reason given in Chumash for the Yisur of Amoni and Moavi was because Al-Gar Shalakid Mu'eskan Balechim Nivamayim. So it's sort of an onish for the whole nation of Amoni and Moavi. The Gemara points out that the people who should handle, who were supposed to go out of their way to give the Lechim Nivamayim, should have been the men. The women did not have to do this, but we might assume that the Knas and the onish was for the whole nation, like by Amalek, the Knas for the whole nation. So you have again the two conflicting elements. I would imagine that they might have the right to do it. One, if the Bezin really felt, I mean, that's another thing I wanted to speak about, that when a person darshan sees psukim, he has to be honest enough to darshan out of conviction, because he really holds this way. Not just out of convenience, yeah. Certainly, Bezin is, I mean, the Chacham in each generation are affected by the spirit of the age. The only thing is that they should be convinced of the propriety of the thoughts of their entertainment. They should really feel that it's substantial. They should really feel there's something for it. Yes? No, that's not intrinsically right.
I mean, one way is more right than the other. Is there really an objective basis of buying up being Muslim?
Apparently not. It's just that there has to be some way to do the halacha.
I can't understand very well to say the myth of the good one, Tarek. If you're giving arguments, if not understand the buying up, in one way, really, there's no objective basis for it. I mean, there's two ways of buying up.
Well, I would assume that if, let's say, a Tana says a din in one place, and he says 5,000 other din in Shas, that they might not be necessarily lishitaso, as the Polish would say, you know, knack le shitase, because he had to say this, had to say that, had to say that. But there was some common theme in Hashkafis which prompted this Tana to say a number of these demons. There is... Yeah, because the different shitas that one Tana would advance, if all taken together and seriously analyzed, would most probably reflect some hashkafa that he had personally had, which he felt was hashkafa satayim, which should be reflected in Allah. I was looking for it, I couldn't find it, but I'm sure it's there. No, Nefesh HaChayim. I would imagine that the way it came about was as follows. You find among the different drashas ha-pasukim that Chazal have in the Gemara that there are some common themes among them. For example, law, that the Gemara darshan, tiyah l'shmo, the very same drashas found in a number of other places. Like, because of law, it's Mishnah Tarazos. So law, the Ramban says, his own drashas, this is the Ramban also, it's not in the Gemara. The Ramban says law l'shmo. The Sefer must be written l'shmo. For other pasukim like that, with the Gemara darshan, Similar psukim, like Chagasukis Lashem, Tasaloch Shivas Yom Lashem, the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Chagasukis Tasaloch, Lashem Chai Voscha. According to Beis Shammah, you require Lashma by Binyan HaSukim. So the Gemara Darshan is the same way, not that they sat down one day by Parshas Gittin and decided law and Krisis and all these things, that in looking through Chumash, the Tanaim felt that the word law and Lacho and law and Lahem must have some implication all over. And the same is with a number of other styles of drashas that they had. Yeah, they felt that the word must have more meaning than than surface value, because the word was extra. Could have said because of Sefer Krisis. Yes, so because they were bothered with the Pshuta Shel Mikra, why should the pasuk have been written so clumsily, so to speak? So they felt that something more must be implied. I understand. Okay. It doesn't cry to be darshan, it's just that it could have been... One could have edited the pasuk and rewritten it differently. Okay, so therefore Chazal felt that the pasuk must imply something more.
In other words, there's no doubt in the mind that...
Yeah. Not always. Most of
them.
I had wanted to point out, and speaking of the authority, Chavis HaGavr, that the precedent plays absolutely no role whatsoever in halacha. People somehow have a feeling that something that was practiced for many generations has already validity and can be continued today also. The Yerushalmi, which is always quoted in the beginning of Hasachos HaPaolim above Mitzvah, mentions that minig oker halacha. So the Mishnah says that if Polim work, and the Minhag HaMedina is that they work, say, from 9 in the morning to 6 at night, even if the Balabais didn't tell them this, So it's understood that they work from 9 to 6. They can't tie it otherwise, and he can't tie it that they're supposed to work from 8 to 7. What Minikam Dina is that the Balabayas gives his workers lunch, even if they hadn't stipulated Bishas when he had hired them, the Dina is that he must give them their lunch. So the Rishalmi says, Mikan Sheminho Okir Halacha. The expression is always quoted by Maskilim and self-styled historians, points out that you can see you can do away with Halacha. But clearly the Rishalmi meant nothing more than as follows, that there is a Dina Hamotim Chaveru Olav Haraya. So if you want to get food for me for lunch, prove that I'm supposed to give it to you. Or if you want to get paid your full wages, prove that I hired you from 9 to 6, not from 8 to 7. So the Mishnah says no, that Minig is Mevatel, this dinner, Hamot Mechamela Farayi, because the Minig simply shows what the Das Chayvis was initially. So that Yerushalmi doesn't show anything about precedent. The thing which is often quoted is the Masechah Sofrim in Perek Yudalid. The Magen Avraham quotes this in Hilchis Purim, Hilchis Megillah, and Tafresh Tzadik, Sitkat and Chof Beis. There, Minigoka Halacha is used in the sense that the Minig can be Mevatel, a real din. And it gives you examples, but you must be very careful from the Mishalim that he gives, because he states clearly that the minik can be mevatel a din, even though there's a chashash issue involved. He doesn't say that you can have a minik to go against the halacha. As for example, someone had once said that there's an issa deraisa to have chont on the fire on Shabbos on top of a blech, issa deraisa. And the only thing is that for so many generations people did it, so minik oka halacha. This is ridiculous. Certainly, minig of halacha doesn't apply to the deraisas. And secondly, Magen Avraham is careful in saying not that it can precedent can overrule a din; it's just that it can show you how to paskin the din. Magen Avraham's example is if you have a din which the Gemara says in one way, the Psikta says fakir, so the minig determines that the halacha is like the Psikta, like which parasha is to be. They felt they wanted to inject more meaning into the words of the Torah, and they felt that the word law should, in many places, not just in one place, in many places, should imply more than simply as if it wouldn't be there. It's not just that they decided by get. They felt that the word law, whenever it's mentioned, by Torah, by Sukkah, by anything, should imply more, should imply the Shema. I'm just saying that it doesn't necessarily have to be so. Might be true. Yeah. Yeah.
In some token of the Torah where the Hebrew of someone is quoted, just for example, when the rabbi tells the rabbi to go there, he doesn't see what the Hadesh Bok is in the Bible. And so Rashi says in the Tzadik to Yogi Ravishan. So I'm going to say what I'm trying to say, you can't say that Moshe Rabbeinu said that, and he's still trying to prevent you another.
No, I've noticed that in Midrashim, whenever a Medrash interprets a pshat, say in Sipur and Chumash, usually there's a method to the interpretation. You find that Medrash shows that this is a common implication of the word in a number of places. I would imagine that the Medrash points out that the word eitz is used in other places, the sense of tzaddik. Not to mean that Moshe Rabbeinu had said that, or necessarily meant that when he said eitz, but that he had said that separately. He asked whether they were tzaddikim. All this was included in what he had said at that time. Not that he meant that when he said this.
No, the Torah was giving the kids what he said, and you know, not from the words of Torah.
Perhaps. The Rashbah raises a problem similar to this in Yevamos. The Gemara at the beginning of the second Perek explains, based on what Lot had said, that he should have said like this, and he said like that, that's mufnet, the darshan there shot. So the Rashbah raises the problem, how can you darshan something that's mufnet? So Lot liked to talk a lot. How can you darshan anything from what anybody said in the Chumash? And he just shows that the Gemara doesn't number of places. He doesn't really resolve the problem. So it really is a problem. I don't know the answer to exactly what Chazal meant by darshaning what somebody said. When you darshan what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, so that was nitan lidarsh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it in such a way that should lend itself to different levels of interpretation. But what Basav Adam said, which is simply quoted in Chumash, I don't, I mean, the Rashboy asks, how can Gemara darshan? Yeah, but it shouldn't be able to be nitan lidarsh. I don't know. It's a problem.
Well, I mean, the Torah puts it in, obviously, it's for a reason.
Yeah.
The Torah is going to put a standing from Russell, like they want.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. It's not that he couldn't al pidin, he couldn't, that just people out of their personal feelings, which are not necessarily Tayridic, wouldn't want to do it. Like, tell me to put on a Chinese suit. I mean, there's no din against it, but I just wouldn't want to do it. Not necessarily because the Das Torah dictates to them not to use a different sound of Shabbat.
The
what? Not only in psychological terms, it's Alpidin also. It has some input. I'll get to that later on. If there will be a later on. Yeah? Yeah?
The point of Hasidus, even the Machlokesim come from Mount Sinai. That would answer your question why Dibrei Elokim Tainim or Beshan Gethu, but they were just the opposite. They were everything comes from the Machlokesim.
That's what it means, that the both possibilities were inherent within the text. Both elements.
Well, both given. Each one has come from Shom, and what he had on
Gemara doesn't say. The Shach says this in Chayshim Mishvim Yeredei Hilchus Talmud Torah. That a person gets schar for attempting to learn Torah even though he doesn't really understand it. For the wrong attempt. But I doubt that anybody would say that it's Divrei Elokim Chayim, the attempt. You can say that you get schar for trying. Okay? But the Gemara says, that's what the Pirkei Avos says, that L'chum Tzairah, you get schar for your how much effort you put in, but not necessarily how much, for the accomplishment. But to say that it's Divrei Elokim Chayim, I doubt that anyone would say, if something is really shekhar.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I understand.
question in the Midos.
Well,
there's
some others like this where the entire Midos kind of can't exist today.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering how we know which ones are like that and how which Takana we can change today. Because there may be other ones in the same way. And we aren't
in which were Takana has to. Adovish of a minyan, something that was a takana, must be formally changed, must have a minyan achar lahatiro. Something that was just a hashash, as Acharonim put it, does not have to have a minyan lahatiro. Because they told you to be choshish as long as there's a hashash. You want to know, how can you know whether something is a hashash or a gzera d'rabban? That's a problem Acharonim talk about. It. I don't know, they have ways of doing.
You say menach al-Kalachar is just when there's a machlokit and then
when there's some question asked of Allah, the Yushalmi above Mitzvah has absolutely nothing to do with the sense that Minigoka Halacha has quoted the popular.
I just talk about that one bit of the Muslim
tradition. Yeah. Masecha Sofrin speaks about cases, as Magen Avraham points out, speaks of cases where there is a possibility to do the other way. There are two sources, Gemara and Pesikta.
Two sources in Halacha?
Yeah. Or there's a possibility to do the other way. The question of how do you pass it? I don't know where does the Gemara have. The Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, the Gemara says that they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael to Bnei Bavel that Shalch Mitam Hizor of Minigav Sech Midei. It would appear as if it's a minute. But you look carefully in the Rishonim, you'll see that there was a whole ASIC about this in tradition some time ago. Someone had written an essay claiming that Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is a Din Rabbanan. Someone else had attacked him and said that it's not a Rabbanan, it's a Minig. If you look carefully in Rishonim, they'll say that it's a Rabbanan. The letter that they said, this is just, they said that we are Misakin now, that you should follow the pattern that your father did. But it's not the Teres Minig, it's the Teres the Rabbanan. The Misakin. Some Rishonim say it is the Rabbanan. Some say it is Minig, rather. There's the thing is discussed by, in the Sefer HaEshkol, with Auerbach's comment. So he has a discussion of this, which he sent to some maskilim, who wanted to abolish the end of Shemesh HaGolim. Okay. Are there any other questions? For those who would be interested to stay on, I'll just finish what I have, not too much, I'll just finish what I have written down. We had raised the problem before about Koves HaGavra. Now, if I decide that the darshan, the klal of prat klal, so I should be bound to follow it. But what about somebody else? You have to listen to me. So the chinuch points out, in the mitzvah of achir rabim lahatos, that really the Torah should be nitan lidaresh by everybody individually, right? As lahavdil the of the Avodah Zarah claim about their Bible, that each some of them, present, each individual should darshan the way he wants to. By his will, yeah. So the only thing is that the Torah said Achir Rabbim Lahatos, that Shlota Hei Torah Niris Kishtei Taros, for the unity of Klal Yisrael, for the Kavod HaTorah. So the Halacha states that you can only have a din which will be accepted by the majority of Klal Yisrael. That's why you should go Basara. Okay, so we understand why everybody can't make up his own brushes. I have to have some substantial number of people following him. So the halachs must be determined by the majority of the chachamim, and not by each individual by himself. Very balabash. Of course, the Rambam says explicitly in Perek Beis and Hilchas Mamrim that, as we mentioned before, that the klal of kol davar shebeminyan tzarich min yirachal hatiro only applies to gzeiros and takanas rabbanan, not at all to darshaning a din d'araisa. If we darshan a din, one bezin darshans a din, a later generation thinks that the din should be the reverse, so they can. Paskin Fakir, Paskin Iber, the first bed. So, the question is, so let's say today, when we have a Gemara, so the Gemara says a din is that a get has to be Lishma. So let's say we'll decide today, all of the Chachamim, not only conservative rabbis, we'll decide that the get does not have to be written Lishma. Somehow we'll be able to ascertain, I don't know how we could, that this din was not given to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Anything that Moshe Rabbeinu had a Masara on, he can't refute. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that's it. But the question is something that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a Masora. So can we today abolish that or not? Just parenthetically, the Seder Hadoros tells a whole story about the Tfilin the Rashi and Tfilin the Rabbeinu Tam, that there are two different ways of arranging the parshios. He tells about the Rabbeinu Yechiel Paris, who was in the Kuvul, and he had a fight also about which Tfilin to wear, who was right. But he said that he's going to pull down Moshe Rabbeinu min HaShemayim and ask him who's right. Moshe Rabbeinu should know how the Tfilin should be. Got down Moshe Rabbeinu and the Chol, whatever it was. Had Moshe Rabbeinu there and they asked him. And I forgot, Moshe Rabbeinu said one way, and they said, go back, we're not going to listen to you. So, Rav Chaim said that this story is apikursis. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu had a Kabbalah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as to how the film should be, then certainly you can't do fakir. I mean, Rav Chaim. The story, yeah, okay. Yeah. That means that in HaShemayim, the Bezin Shalmaila had one sheet. They felt that it should be like this, but... Not that the halacha was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, so. No, no. If you would have, if we could ascertain that the din was nimsar to Moshe Rabbeinu, by anyway, by any historical documents, anywhere, they could prove that it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, not necessarily by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. If anybody could prove it, then of course he can't pass in against it, and that's clear. The Baskel said the din should be like that. One was right. He didn't say that Kadosh Baruch Hu had said so to Moshe Rabbeinu. Baskel says that he's right. Now he's right. And when he talks about Rabbi Yechiel Paris. Yeah. So, what should stop us from passing against the Gemara? That's the question. So the answer would be that you always follow previous generations. Haraya, the Gemara itself, the Amorim never disagreed with Tanoi. Right? So you see, whatever previous generation had decided, you can never refute. Yeah, so this shlugs up the Rambam. The Rambam says explicitly that a later generation can reverse a decision of a previous dog. So the kasha is new according to the Rambam, so why don't the Amorim ever disagree with Tanoi? It's not just a coincidence. The Gemara asks a kasha and an Amorim from the Mishnah versus the Yufta, that's the end. It's wrong. So why do they shlug him up? He disagrees with the Mishnah versus. And also, why couldn't we now, if we would want to, why couldn't we just disagree with the Gemara and paskin the reverse from the Gemara? The Gemara says in Shabbat, Tafkuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, it's an often quoted line, that Im Rishonim Ki Bnei Malachim Harayonu Ki Bnei Yodam, and so on. In the sense that the Rishonim are so much greater than us. And many people think that this is the reason why we can't disagree with the Acharonim don't disagree with Rishonim, Rishonim don't disagree with Gemara, and so on, because it's so much greater than us. I don't think that this is so at all, because as the Rambam says, even if, like the Rambam says explicitly, you don't have to be Gedolim Chachmim Minyan, it doesn't matter who's greater or who's not, who knows how to learn better. The Pasuk says, U'bos al ha-shofet ha-shayiyah b'yamim ho-heim. So Chazal say, how else? How can you ask somebody who's not around? So it means, Ein l'chol el ha-shofet she-biyomecha. Yiftach b'dara, the Rambam says Shimshon b'dara, Kishmul b'dara, whatever. So it doesn't really depend on that Gemara and Shabbos about that they were so much greater. In fact, the Gemara stresses just the reverse in Brachas, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. You can't bring anything from Shabbos. The Gemara says in Daf Chaf that one Amara was saying that we know how to learn so much better than the Tanoim to the day, or the early Amarim. They only learned the Noshim and Hizik, and we know Ganshas. So it's not that the Gemara says that we rely on the early Rishon because they knew how to learn better. Gemara says in Barachas that we know how to learn better. The Gemara in Shabbos means that they were greater tzaddikim. Exactly what the Gemara says in Barachas. And even if they weren't greater tzaddikim, I mean, the whole Gemara, the whole Melitza in Shabbos has nothing to do with what the halacha is. Exactly why is it that we can't disagree with the Gemara? Why don't the Amoraim disagree with Tanoim? So the Rabbi Chanan has in the Kovet Shiurim, this is in the first Chelik, and Baba Basra in Siman Tafrei Shlamet Gimel, he had asked the Kasha to Rabbi Chaim Brisk. He asked them that Rav sometimes disagrees with Mishnayos. The Gemara always asks, how can an Amara disagree with Tana? The Gemara's always answer is, Rav Tana Hu Pali. He's a Tana, he can disagree. An Amara cannot disagree, Tana can. So Taisa says in the beginning of Kesubis, the Rav Yechanan holds that Rav is not Tana Hu Pali. Listen carefully. Rav Yechanan disagrees with Rav. Rav thinks that he's a Tana Hu Pali. Rav Yechanan disagrees. And we have a klal that Rav Yechanan halacha ki Rav Yechanan. In fact, halacha ki Rav Yechanan neged kol b'nei doro. He disagrees with one person. Except if Rav and Shmuel are both against him, then they win. So halacha Rabbi Yochanan neged kol b'nei doro. So if Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Rav is not Tanu Hu Pali, so whenever Rav disagrees with the Mishnah, we should never pass him like Rav. So So in this Gemara and Baba Basra, it happens to be one of a number of instances where we do pass like Rav, because Rav disagrees with Mishnah on the basis of Rav Tanah Hupalik. So he asked Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim told him that the premise of the Kasha is incorrect. That the whole premise that a Namura has no right to disagree with the Tanya is incorrect. It's not that he doesn't have the right to, it's just that they didn't want to. And he says that the reason why we don't disagree with the Gemara, or why we have no right to, or why it's usually assumed that a Namura has no right to disagree with the Gemara, simply is, as the Rambam points out in his Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah, and the Rambam has some very important words there about this, that Torah depends on what Klal Yisrael accepts as Torah. This is something very similar to saying the Minigoka Halacha, but not at all the same. Torah depends on what Klal Yisrael accepts. The Gemara says, for example, in Yevamos Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, that in fact speaks about Sandal Shel Chalitza, that if Eliyahu HaNavi will come and tell us that the sandal that we use is pasul, so we don't have to listen to him. Because for so many generations, Klal Yisrael has accepted this as a sandal. It does mean if Eliyahu HaNavi will come and be mevarah that Moshe Rabbeinu really said Barakeret, but it's no good. He'll say that his sheet is that it's pasul. So the Gemara simply means that even though Eliyahu HaNavi is such a big Talmud Chacham, we don't have to listen to him, because Klal Yisrael has accepted that the halacha is that this sandal is kosher. Halacha, how to pass on halacha depends on Kabbalah's Klal Yisrael. This is based on the svara that the Chinuch said. It's a very balabatish svara. The Chinuch just there said the Torah was nitan lidore, so why not have everybody decide? You decide however you want to darshan, you'll darshan. So everybody will make up his own darshan, his own way of passing the Sharas. So of course he says no, that the paskach rabban lahatas doesn't only mean when you have a din Torah and there are three rabbanim, so you go basarah. It means more than that. Then in general, halacha should always be decided according to what Klal Yisrael has accepted. There should be some unity within Klal Yisrael about shmiras and mitzvahs. Shouldn't always have, let's just go to Sasu Agus Agus. Shouldn't always have two different camps. The Gemara has a similar point in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, as far as takonis the Rabbanah. The Gemara says, as far as certain takonis, that they cannot be repealed even with the Gadol, a Bezin Gadol B'men and B'chafim of a minion, if it's Pashat Isura B'Rav Isura. Tesis talks about it. So we see that Kabbalah's Klal Yisrael plays a role in halacha. Of course, again, I want to stress, it doesn't mean that whatever the Mayas decides, we accept even though it's incorrect. It's not that they have absolute authority even in cases of error, because nobody has authority. I mean, there's no such thing as authority in the case of error. The Rashi that's quoted so often in the parasha of Zakeh Mamre, where the pasuk says, "La'sasam en hadavar shegira l'cho yamin asmol." So Rashi quotes the Sifrei, "Afilo amim l'cho al yamin shehu smol, l'asmol shehu yamin." So Rashi states explicitly the Sifrei that authority is binding even if it's definitely wrong. I mean, clearly wrong. Al yamin shehu smol. If you know clearly, I mean physically, they're wrong. And some of you might know that Dr. Fleischer once told us that Hermann Wouk based his whole book, the theme of his book, The Cain Mutiny, is based on this Rashi. That authority has to be listened to, even if they're dead wrong. So the ma'is is that that's not what the Sifrei said, and that's not what Rashi ever meant, chas v'sholom, that there is no such thing. The Yerushalmi, in the beginning of Harius, on the Mishnah, has a drasha. The Mishnah says that if Bezin paskens a shayla, a certain thing is mutter. And I know that they made a mistake, so the Mishnah says I'm not allowed to listen to them. If I go ahead and do the Avera, based on Bezin say so, and I know that they're wrong, so my Aver will never be covered with their carbon. I'm considered amazing. I'll never have a kapar forever. So the Yerushalmi says, why not? But he's doing a mitzvah. He's listening to Bezin. So he's doing an Aver B'shog because he thought that there's a mitzvah to listen to Bezin. Yerushalmi says, absolutely no, because everybody knows. Pasuk says, "La'sasam ardoa she'agid alecho yamin u'smol." Dafka yamin yamin, v'al smol shehu smol. Dafka if they tell you the right thing, but if they tell you everything, if you care. So of course you don't have to listen to them. Problem is, what's pshat in the Sifrei? It's just the opposite from the Yerushalmi. So the problem was raised by the Ramban in the Shoresh Aleph in Sefer HaMitzvos. And other Rishonim and Acharonim discuss it. I think in the Malamid Lahoil by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, at the very end he has a few miscellaneous essays. So one shuv at the very end is on this Ramban, where he collects a number of Rishonim who discuss the problem. Malamid Lahoil. It's a shuv sefer, but he has some other topics in the end. Whatever Rashi means, he doesn't mean that. Authority is not to be listened to when it's wrong. If, either scientifically, historically, or otherwise, anybody could prove that any halacha, whether it was said by anybody, is incorrect based on an error, then the halacha is certainly not binding. In fact, it would be not there to follow the din. If, for example, somebody could prove that the Gemara completely misunderstood what the Masorah was, it was a definite mistake in the Masorah, and the din was completely misinterpreted by any Vishnu Rachman at any time, then it would be a definite aver of apikursis to follow this halacha. Because it's dead wrong. So you're just fulfilling a man-made halacha. It's not really Taras Hashem. It's not Divrei Elokim Chayim. In fact, we have one case like this where the Mishnah is known to have made an error, simply a physical error. The Mishnah, the first Perek in Nida, which talks about anatomy. So Rishonim point out, the Miri, the Ram, they point out that the Mishnah simply made a mistake, and halacha is not like the Mishnah because it's based on complete toys gone. So the reason why Kabbalah's Klal Yisrael is relevant, as the Gemara says, the Rambam says, is not because authority is binding, not because the Doros HaRishonim was such great malachim b'nei Adam, we're chamorim in comparison to them, as the Gemara says. It's not at all like this. And again, it's not... someone quoted the Gemara in Gitt in Daf Amud Beis, Shlo lehotzi las al kitna HaRishonim, that out of derech eretz, out of code for the previous generation, you shouldn't pass me if I care for that. So there are two qualifications which the Shulchan Aruch imposes upon this Gemara, and both of them are very, very important. One is quoted by the Bishmul from earlier Achreidim, and Simu Kuf Chafei, I believe. I wrote it down in the list of Maram Kermis. Bishmul points out that this din of Shlo lehotzi las only applies to dinim derabbanan, not to dinim deraisa. The case in the Gemara was the Fanei Nechta. In Gansman din derabbanan. What if, for example, you would have a din deraisa? There would be a chashash psul deraisa. So you could have had this done since the times of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And Reb Kivega comes and says that it's possible. As for example, Reb Kivega did. Kivega said that if you give a get and you fold it up and the get is partly sticking out of the woman's hand, so it's possible with the rice. Because whatever sticks out of the hand is hagvor, not yad. And the only kinyan that's good for get has to be yad. So what do you have to do? You have to fold up the get to be small enough to fit in completely within her hand. That's yad. So they said to Reb Kivega, but Shalala Hosilas Agidim Harishayim. So he said, well, possible, make more mamzer with my friend. Like Mo Mamzerim from the times of the Tanoim, the Amorim, and everything. If it's a Dindi Raisa, it's a Dindi Raisa. There's no two ways about it. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes it on that Kufkaf. It's not in Kufkaf, it's a different Pesachei Tshuva, but it refers to it. Then again, the Pesachei Tshuva on this Din Shulchan Aruch about putting Tagin in Gittin, about Shlola Hotzilas, has another qualification. Not only does it not apply to Dinim Di Raisa, which is a real Chashash Isur, a second qualification is that Shlola Hotzilas is only a din in the Rabbanan within Ishus, where you would say that somebody is a mamzer. So to say that people are mamzer, which is an Isur Chamur, I call the Chaver a mamzer, Sopik Arboim, and it's an Isur to... Yeah. It doesn't matter, mamzer the Rabbanan, mamzer the Rais. But when it comes to... Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay. So, no, I'm not saying Boal mamzer, I'm saying Kori the Chaver a mamzer. It's an Isur of one who says that somebody else is a mamzer. To be Motzi Laz on somebody else is an Isur. You might be lost on someone's yuchsin. And it might well be an issa deraisa, the Rabban said at one time, under the mitzvah of Vikidashto, where the Torah says, Torah only says Vikidashto as far as Kohen Gadol. Right? So basically it goes on Kohen Gadol. I think, if I'm not mistaken, some Rishonim say that it only refers to Kohen Gadol, and the mitzvah of Vikidashto by Kohen Hedyot is only the Rabban. And the Rabban said that it might be that Vikidashto includes the mitzvah to be mavdil between all yuchsin, between Kohen, Levi, Israel. That's the reason why, for example, Rashi thinks that you are not allowed to call one day in Rashi is that if there's no Kayin, Sparda Havili, you're not allowed to call a Levi first. You have to call Badafki Yisrael, because if you call a Levi, so it'll be Mechabit a Levi as much as a Kayin, and this is awesome. This is also a Pagan in Kroy Kahun. So not only being Mechabit the Kayin, the Kumbi Yasei, is included in the Kidashto, not being Mechabit somebody else equally to him is also included. It might well be that all of the preservation of all of Yuchsin in Klal Yisrael is included within this mitzvah. It might be that the mitzvah implies Karla Chavira Mamzer is also over on this mitzvah. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes in the name of also earlier Achronim that this Shlola Hotzilas al Gidna Harashanim again is limited to a case where you have a Chashash Isur in being Motzilas. On one hand, you have an Isur Deraisa of saying that they're all to claim that somebody is a Mamzer and you're not sure that it's so, that the din is fakert from the way the minig was. So then the din is that Shlola Hotzilas, you shouldn't do it. But in other cases, even in the Rabbanans, there is no din of Shlola Hotzilas al minig harishonim, or on the practice of previous generations. The din is only when there's an aver involved of being motzilas on people, not yid, on people who are alive today, to say that they have a psul yuchsin. Again, some would quote the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed on the base, but the Gemara says, Maiserav. This is quoted very often. Maiserav. Gemara says, Pasna Allah is one thing, but Maisa, to really do it, that's Maisa Rav, that's more important than Pasna Allah. The Gemara does not mean that whatever was practiced is stronger or more binding than what was paskin. Gemara simply means, if you look in the Gemara, simply means very clearly something else. You want to know what a person's shita is. So for example, when the Rav says a shita on Yevamis, he says many svaris. So he says, Moda halacha bi, and halacha bi like this. Okay. So that's a halacha, but doesn't necessarily mean that that's the halacha. He says in the middle of a shir. That's one madrega. So that the Gemara says you can have a paskin from the middle of a shir. Maybe the one is saying the shir doesn't mean la halacha lamais. Maybe he's just saying one possibility. Then there's another thing when a person paskins a shayla on the shame sock. He writes a tshuva safe like Ramesh, he writes a tshuva safe. Then there's a third madrega where a person mamish goes ahead and does it. That's called maisa rav. So when a person does the third thing, he really goes ahead and does the maisa. That shows that he really holds this way. It's just a question of what is the person's sheet as far as paskining halacha lamais. How to determine what a certain amora felt. If Shmuel at one time said, if Shmuel passed in one way, if Shmuel himself did fakir, so which did he really hold? And you say, Maisa Rav, that's a better raya for what he held. The fact that he went ahead and did it, a better raya that he really held.
I thought the case where asking a lot of people to be master himself, and if the Shabbos and the third
meditation,
he'll wait one more. Yeah. So then you can't really tell what
he holds. Okay, if it's noticeably Bataras Kulmer. Okay. Okay, that's a secondary problem. Okay, but I just want to point out that the Gemara that says Maisi Rav does not mean that Nihug, in a certain way, is more authoritative, or so to speak, more binding than what the halacha really is. Again, it's, in connection with the Rashi on Kulmishin, Herman Buch's work, the Goyen is noted to have said, he's quoted by Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Tshuva, and he's always misunderstood. I don't see why. It's very simple. He says that when a person will pass him like the Shulchan Aruch, where he himself thinks the Shulchan Aruch is wrong, so he'll be over not there. Which are there? The Pasuk says in Chumash that when you're dying on a case, and you feel the din is one way, but you have Rachmanis for the poor man, so you let him win. Like Rashi says, you need the money, you give him the money, no, you can afford it. But in the reverse, you have Rachmanis on the wealthy, the covetous man, that he shouldn't go out from Bezin embarrassed that he had lost the din Torah. So you'll be Mezakeh, the wealthy person, from the Chubot, be Mechabed him. And if the entirety, tell him quietly that he should give him the money he was really wanting. So the Pasuk says, Laisisa Fan, that there's an Issa Nisiyas Panim in Paskin and Shabbos. So the Goyen says, he's quoted by his Talmud, Chaim Volozhiner, that if one Paskin is like the Shulchan Aruch, where he is convinced that the Shulchan Aruch is dead wrong, so you're right on the Nisiyas Panim even when the Shulchan Aruch is involved. Even when the Shulchan Aruch is the one who convinces you to Paskin Farkir. What he said is very simple. He's not undermining the authority of Allah. He says something that's very simple. That the Gemara says, for example, in Krisis and in Baruch Kama, most of you must have come across it, that there's an idea of Bahar Baraglov. If two Adam come and say that Reuven murdered Shimon, then you make a Gemara Din, and Reuven is Chayiv Misa, so we're ready to kill Reuven, and Shimon walks into Bezin. You see, at the Neharag, the Nirtzach walks into Bezin. So the Gemara says, it's Bahar Baraglov, so the Rotzeach is Pata. So the question is why, but you have Adim that he killed Shimon. So apparently the answer is very simple. Al Pidin, what's the halacha? That if you have a steer between Yediyah and Ne'amanis, Yediyah wins. If Bahar Baraglav, I have Yediyah as to what the facts of the case were. If you have two Adim come and say something, so that's just an Ne'amanis. I don't know what really happened. So I said, Al Pidin, I believe them. It's the halacha of Ne'amanis. So the halacha certainly is, and Ne'amanis is only when there's no Yediyah. When there is Yediyah, Ne'amanis cannot beat it out, then also Nemanis is not needed. That's actually the basis of the sheet of Rabbeinu Aaron Halevi by Erechad B'meis Baila, why Erechad is Neman. Actually, you should have needed two Adim in Davisha B'Yerva. But Hakasav Nisar LaHachamim to determine what is called Yediyah and what is not. They said if you have an Erechad plus Isha Daiko Minsava, this equals Yediyah that the husband is dead. This is sufficient Yediyah. Whenever you have Yediyah, Nemanis with its rigorous and formal halachas is not required. So this is all the Goyen says, that Nisiyas Panim applies to the Shulchan Aruch. If one is fully convinced that a certain din should be passed in a certain way, even if authorities say fakir, but why should I believe them? In other words, why should I take their word for it? Why should I accept their namonis? If I have a yediyah, it means if I'm fully convinced that the din is so. But for one who doesn't know what the din is, he should follow the Shulchan Aruch. So the question is why?
I think if you make a point, and let's say you did some account with some child who lose a lot of money, and then most person hold this way.
You mean Hefsid Merubin? There's an idea of Hefsid Merubin.
No,
the Ramo and Yeridayans brought in the idea of Hefsid Merubin. So the Rav always says the name of his father, Rav Moshe, that whenever the din is a certain way, behaves to merul, it shows that the din is always like that. The only thing is that we're machmir. Out of covet for the other shittas, we're machmir the other way. But basically, we hold this way. Whenever we make all behaves to merul, that shows that basically we hold like that.
But the person doesn't understand the shittas behaves to merul, really
no,
wrong.
It doesn't matter. It means if the Shulchan Aruch passes so behaves to merul. If a person himself, say for example, a person himself has no feelings as to which way the halacha should be. He just knows that many Rishonim say like this, many say like that. And he would go to Chumrah. Let's say it's a Shaila Shel Torah, he would go to Chumrah. He would go Basaro. Then he has no right to pass them the other way, even the Machmir has to move. He has no convictions that the din is Bakir. Unless it's accepted by authorities, say by Shulchan Aruch, that the din is so. The Hefsim Ruba, that means that the din always is so. The only thing is that with Machmir, in other cases, Lachatchila, not to do so out of covet, just simply out of covet for the other Shitas, out of covet for the other Rishonim. So then, Shalom Machmir has to move, this person's money is more important than that Rishon's covet.
Okay, but what's that? He told that really the
halacha
is the other way, that
even
should be
not allowed to pass, certainly.
You're
not.
Not allowed to pass
in the book? Never, of course not. Of course. I don't know offhand, but the tshuva you can find it quoted and misunderstood in the essay of Louis Ginsberg on the Vilna Gaon, and the student scholars and saints. He misunderstood a number of things the Gaon said about Torah Shavuot. So the question is, why should, as Rav Chaim points out, and the Rambam says it explicitly, the Gemaris would appear so. That, and that's exactly what the Chinuch says. The idea is that how to pass in a halacha depends on previous generations, not because of the chassidus, the tzidkus, that they knew how to learn, they were smarter. Not because Rav Akiva was a genius and I'm stupid. It's because of Kabbalah's Kal Yisrael. These things were conventionally accepted by Kal Yisrael. And it's a makam, it's shayach to accept something like that. Not that it's against the halacha. It's shayach to accept. It's makam to accept. The question is why. Okay, but that's not kaveya in pasuk shailos. See, a person who's a genius doesn't mean that his psak is more binding than one who's not. That's not a kaveya. So I think that the answer is based on Igmar and Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Igmar tells of the story of Rav Lezer Hagadol, who had two talmidim who were learning the Beis Medrash, and the shaila had come up one day. So Rav Lezer wasn't there that day. They had a whole shaila about Amnu Maya, what are they do, Bishnas Hashmito, how are they mafish, which Meiser. First 2 years you give Meiser Sheni, third year you give Meiser Roni, so what do you do in Shemito so you don't give any Meiser? What do you do in those countries where there is Meiser? Amnu Maya. So the whole machloik is the Beis Medrash, they were talking and talking and talking. Came to a vote, they voted Al Pirov, the Ma'ash and Meiser Roni Bishviyas. But then they met Rabbi Lazar and he asked them, what did you learn? He said, they were ashamed to tell him. And Meiser says, finally told them that they had this big machlokes. Hakira came up, and they argued, they fought it out, and they voted on it, and it came out, Meiser Roni. So he said, Rachmanis, they didn't know that this is a halacha that was up to Paskin 2,000 years before them. But he said that Soyd Hashem Lireya, he quoted the Pasik, that the Hashgacha brought about that they should be machabin to what the din was. The Gemara says a similar thing in Chulin, where the Gemara tells a story about Beishan. Beishan is a city in Chutzlaret. Many years it was thought to be a city in Eretz Yisrael, till the days of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He passed him that it was Chutzlaretz. How did he know? The Gemara says that at one time Rab Meir had eaten some demai there, and if it would have been Eretz Yisrael, so it would have been Asa Bachilo. And certainly Rab Meir, who was a big tzaddik, would have not been Nichshol in the Avera. Very strange Gemara, Salah. Rab Meir the tzaddik would not have been Nichshol in the Avera of eating Macholas Asuras. The Gemara quotes the whole story of Kamar Shal HaPinchas Ben Yoyer, that his animal was trained not to eat Macholas Asuras instinctively. The animal knew, the people didn't know, the animal knew that it was trade. That the food was trade. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Hashta behemtam shal tzadikim, in a kodesh bochum evita kol al yodam, tzadikim atzmam lekol shken. In other words, that there's a hashkocha, that a tzadik will not be nichshol in another. So I would assume that this is the reason why Kabbalah's colleagues were so important, and why it's a kaveya in halachas. Not only for the practical reason that the chinuch gives, because the halacha wants the Torah should be uniformly practiced by all Klal Yisrael, not to appear as if each one is a member of a different sect or a different religion. I mean, imagine if people would decide halachas themselves, it would look like completely different religions. Not only for that practical consideration, but that really Afi Hashgacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, causes it to be so, that the whatever Klal Yisrael is masking on, most probably will be correct. But this is only an umdinah. If, for example, someone would feel really convinced, as the Goyen did in a number of places, that a certain halacha was absolutely incorrect, then he's not allowed to follow what the Klal Yisrael. That's the way some have presented it. Hasidus Sforim present the case as follows: that the Gemara says in the first parak in Yevamos that the reason why Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, even though Beis Hillel were in the majority, the din is achir rabim lahatos. So how could it be that Beis Shammai also kidivreihem? So the Gemara says that Beis Shammai were mechadid on tfei. They held that they knew how to learn better than Beis Hillel. And they said, they felt, like the Chinuch points out, that when do you say that you go achir rabim lahatos if people are on equal levels? But if the miut knows how to learn better than the row, then you certainly don't say achir rabim lahatos. So there's some kind of a chassidish kabbalah that lasid lava, the halach will be like Beis Shammai, because alibadem is they really right. Lasid lava, malahar deyas Hashem, people will really realize that they were right. But I don't see that this is necessarily so. I don't see that that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara just says that the others couldn't understand what he was talking about. They just felt that he was wrong. I mean, it's not shach to say objectively. There is no, as I said before, Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Kan, there is no objective truth involved, because both elements could be correct. I wouldn't say exactly like that. I would just say that that there is no necessary objective truth. There's no absolute objective truth, because both possibilities have validity. And as to how to be machriya, as for chavis agavro, this would depend on those who are bali masora, those who are bnei hachia, having a day.
Yeah.
We must have had a lot of reasons.
But was it specifically because he disagreed with
him? No. There are many people who disagree with him.
The Baal explains because they came to a vote or something. That Chazal can disagree unless it's at one time and they vote on it.
Yeah.
They can be scattered opinions. Chazal convinced, in other words, he's upset in one way or the other.
Yeah.
And all Chazal are obligated to listen in one way.
Yeah, Rav Nahata. Yeah.
But so what is that? Why does that have to do with it? It's formalized by Sakra.
That's another problem. It might be that Rav Nahata technically only applies when there was a Bezin that had passed. There's a Gemara which some of you interpret said.
But I mean, Chazal at the time knew, which was the Mujabi opinion.
Yeah.
But even though it didn't come from Sakra, they could disagree. It wasn't the matter that through the Psaq they knew which was the majority opinion. Even before Psaq, for example, if they knew,
they needed a form of Psaq. According to some Rishon, according to the Ramah and Sanhedrin, there's a Gemara that says that it's a technical matter. But you have to have Dafke Psaq when everybody's there facing each other. Huh. Some Poskim say that.
Point to a thousand people because they can really feel they're right. They're going to end up with a thousand Torahs anyway. So, you know, Peshat, you come out.
The thing is, that's the Gemara, though. The Gemara says that Beis Shammai, who felt that they were Mechadid Tvei,
felt that
they
were.
Well,
even though they were, the world felt that this was the way to change it. So 1,000 people think halakha differently, so 1,000 people can pass them the way they want. So the thing is,
but most people would not be so convinced of their opinions.
But they're convinced even if they're not experienced as long as the other, they can still change it, like
what they're saying. Might be.
But most of the Gemara says specifically this is why they put the daily as in.
Why?
Because it's specifically because it's mass levels of that kind.
Okay. I don't know.
But why you think also how you're so convinced of it that the walls are going to vibrate?
Another thing, they put him in the chair because of he was marba machlokes. because he was bringing min hashamayim, he was bringing so many rayas, he was undermining the authority of the chachamim on everything that they said, because he was tishmetering the point. It's not because of the lomdus involved, but a lot of things. No, Masor ended means something else. No. This funny? Yeah, correct. That's what the Rambam says, because it was discovered by Kalis. Oh, yeah? I don't know. I know that the Rambam, in listing off the Masorah, only lists to a certain point. And Rav Moshe asked, Rav's father, Rav Moshe asked, why didn't he list until his time? He's just listing off, like the Seder HaKabbalah, the writer. First right, why didn't he list off all of Ham until his time? So he said simply that the Rambam, in both places, very strange, the Rambam in the Hakdamah to Yad HaZakah and the Hakdamah to Pirush HaMishnayis. So first of all, why didn't he only list up until a certain point and not all the way down? Why that to Rabbi Navash? Think Rabbi Navash. And B'chlal, what is the whole listing coming? It's telling us historical dates and figures and people. So Rav Moshe said that the halacha in the Gemara in Gitna, Daf Samach, is the Dvarim Shabbateh, Yatra Asher Liyam no Mitzah. But of course the Rambam says, based on Gemara, as Rashi says all the time, that there were legal astorim, that they used to write down notes of the shiurim that they heard, notes of the halacha. So what about the halacha Dvarim Shabbateh, Yatra Asher Liyam no Mitzah? So it means that the way of teaching, the Masorah should be dafke b'alpeh. Masorah means b'alpeh. Masorah b'ksav is senseless. So the Rambam lists off who were the Baalei HaMasorah. He lists off the Masorah continued until a certain day, until a certain time. In the sense that until that time, they learned b'alpeh, they didn't learn until b'ksav. When did the Masorah end? Would be the famous Machlekes, Chach Misvar, Chach Ashkenaz, where they started to learn from Mishnayis, written texts, at the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, right after he gave out Mishnah, or up until the days of Rabbi Rabashi, then they started learning Dafka Mitechakstav. And that's all the Rambam means. That's what the ending of the Masorah means. That at that time, the Masorah fell short of the end. Not in the sense that they had something which we didn't have, and not to my knowledge in the sense that we can't disagree with something they had. If we'd have a Bezin which would decide for them.
No, what are the indications that we should have?
I don't know. That's the way the Torah should be taught. That's the ideal, it should be taught.
You mean that's when the first thing is wrong for this?
Yeah, that's the problem. When would the Mishnah
be? Katz wrote an article. He explained that after the Gemara, you can't be fully from the Gemara. He explained what the new Masorah is after. So he's saying that because actually the whole reason that Torah Shabbat became written is because of Masorahs and Golos and so on. So he said that in kind of the Rambashi, they made. I don't know. Said it openly, but it was like at least a passive Gezeira, that no more should be changed. The whole Masorah of Torah should be stopped. Whenever it was written out, it was Mishas. That's the end, and you can't change it. Once you explain it and carry it on to other things, like you can't make it more into the Masorah.
Alright, this might be a general problem. What if certain halachas were accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael, would they be changed later on? In other words, the Rambam's principle that a later Bezin can change something that a previous Bezin had said. So this only applies to a din, the psak that the Bezin had said, or even to dinim that weren't as pashto b'chol Yisrael. This is a general problem. Might be that it's so, but it can't be changed. I just wanted to mention one point in the conclusion that in Shulchan Aruch you have a strain which comes down from the Maram Rottenberg. Maram Rottenberg was a Rebbe of the Rosh, who had a son, Rabbi Yankiv, who composed the Tur. The Shulchan Aruch, of course, is based on the Torah. So the Maram Rottenberg's influence has come down into the Shulchan Aruch in the sense that he always liked to be Yotzi Yidei Kol Ashitas. He didn't like to be Machriya in Shilas. So whenever there's Machleks in Mishayim, he would always say, you should do something by which you could be Yotzi L'Chol Ades. This is what he did in a number of places. The one who points this out is the Mishkanos Yankif in his long tshuva, Nerachayim, and when he talks about Rishus Rabbi derives this one as a. He wrote the letters back and forth to the Rafarim's Abba Margolius. So there in a note, in a Hagorah, he points out that Maram Ruttenberg was noted for this. He was one of the Hasidic Ashkenaz. And he gives two instances of this. One is with respect to Kilayim, Shatnas. And one is with respect to Rishus Rabbi derives. He says, Nishi Tegufi, even though he held a kula personally, he was always Machbel Yadav. Shulchan Aruch, we have famous cases, three famous dinim which have come down from Maram Ruttenberg. I think there are a number of more, just couldn't recall them. One famous din is, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, on the second day, there's Machlokes where they say Shehecha Yonu or not. So Maram Ruttenberg is the one who suggests that you should always wear a new beged to make Shafyanim Imanav Shach. In other words, to be Yotzil Chavadai. So he didn't want to be Machlokes. Another din which is also very famous, Rosh quotes, is called Shulchan Aruch. There are certain types of cake about which it's a suffix where they say Hamotzi, where you say Bari Minim Zainis. So Maram Ruttenberg suggests that one should not eat these cakes unless in the middle of a meal. So you won't have to say Hamotzi anymore. Because of this
mm-hmm.
Also the famous Nihuk of Maram Ruttenberg that they quote in Shulchan Aruch, that he didn't wear tzitzis on Shabbos and Rishus HaRabim. So he himself was such a tzanua, he didn't even tell the people the reason why. So he claimed that he was afraid that tzitzis would get ripped off, that would become fossil. But the Netziv points out in the Tshuva, and already we showed him said explicitly that that wasn't the reason. He didn't have such a marish chur. The reason was that he was choshish for the famous Shittis Balamor that really tcheles is miyakeves es halovan. And his man is there, no tzitzis at all because you have no tcheles, no din rabbanon at all. Balamor never wore tzitzis, is the way they say. So on Shabbos he was afraid because of this. So he was choshish even Shittis Hayach. Might be. The Prima Godim in his Sicha has a suffix whether one is permitted to be Machmer so far with the Maral. But this strain is found in Shulchan Aruch, that rather than being Machriya one way or the other, Shalol Harbis Machlokis B'Yisrael, they try to be Yotzei Lidei Kol HaShittos, rather than the Dafka fight it out and Paskin one way or the other. Those who are really convinced of their Shittos, however, as for example, two outstanding examples would be the Shachan Chosh Nishpat and the Bir Agro on all of Shulchan Aruch, who were really had very strong convictions, were Machriya among Machlokes Rishonim, while most Achronim were not. Okay. That is about it.
If somebody feels like a conviction, when is there a Zokim Mamakos? When is it?
I'm not
it's a good idea.